Collins. Police have charged a Melbourne man with murder over a stabbing attack on a French tourist in the Northern Territory. The 33-year-old victim was stabbed to the neck on Wednesday in front of his wife north of Alice Springs. The 35-year-old man's been receiving treatment at hospital for heat exhaustion, but he's now been charged and will face court on Monday. The former leader of the Queensland LNP says it's time to go after nearly 30 years in state politics. Lawrence Springborg says he won't contest his seat of Southern Downs at the next Queensland state election due in early 2018. Mr. Springborg spearheaded the move to forge Queensland's Liberal and National parties into the LNP and has led the party three times during his 28-year political career. Earlier this year, he was narrowly defeated in a leadership ballot by current Queensland LNP leader Tim Nicholls. Authorities have uncovered the suspected exploitation of foreign workers during a search of a Victorian property. A number of people ran into surrounding panics, but about 80 officers from Australian Border Force, Federal Police and the Fair Work Ombudsman arrived at the property just southeast of Melbourne. The raids uncovered 61 illegal migrant workers and seized about $400,000 in cash. South Australian authorities are bracing for a day of high fire danger with high temperatures, rising winds and thunderstorms forecast today. The Country Fire Service has declared severe conditions in eight South Australian regions. Despite a warning from the federal government, the City of Fremantle plans to go ahead with its bold move to shift Australia Day festivities to January 28 instead of the 26th. It's citing cultural sensitivities, but Canberra has warned the council it'll take away its powers to hold citizenship ceremonies if it holds them on its alternative day. An American teenager convicted of killing an Australian man in Oklahoma will be resentenced after his life term was overturned on appeal. Chris Lane was shot and killed while jogging in southwestern Oklahoma. Chancey Luna was 16 at the time he committed the crime and was jailed for life without parole, but that sentence has now been overturned on appeal. The teenager will be resentenced. Two severe thunderstorms have brought heavy rain, hail and destructive winds to southeast Queensland overnight. It's also left a teenage boy in hospital after being struck by lightning. A number of regions have recorded rainfalls of up to 45 millimetres in the space of just half an hour. At least nine people are dead and about 25 others missing after a massive fire broke out during a late-night party rave in a warehouse in Oakland, California. Fire officials were still trying to determine how the fire started. The roof collapsed, complicating efforts to recover the bodies. And the White House is warning us Australia's refugee resettlement deal with the US could be in jeopardy when Donald Trump becomes president. The Obama administration's agreed to resettle some of the 1,600 people currently in offshore detention on Manus Island and Nauru. But a spokesman for the White House says there's one president at a time who sets the policies. This is Air News. The Wallabies have ended their 2016 season with a loss to England in the overnight clash at Twickenham. England secured its fourth successive victory over the Aussies, winning 37-21. It's the Wallabies' ninth loss in a row. Cricketer Glenn Maxwell has cleared the air over his availability for today's first one-day international against New Zealand. It comes after teammate Matthew Wade spoke openly to the media. Maxwell says he's available despite public comments made by Wade earlier this week. Wade has been spoken to by the Australian captain Steve Smith and fined. Queenslander Andrew Doat has a two-shot lead following a weather-interrupted round three of the PGA Championship on the Gold Coast. He's 14 under par, two shots clear of America's Harold Varner III and Aussie Ash Hall. Adam Scott is tied for fourth, four shots off the pace. Melbourne City fought back from a goal down to claim the one-all draw with Brisbane Roar in last night's A-League clash. And Shane van Gisbergen's become the first New Zealander in 25 years to win the Australian Touring Car Championship. Red Bull teammate Jamie Wincup won race one of the season-ending Sydney 500, but a podium finish was enough to seal the title. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather. Sydney's weather today, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a light shower in the outer west during the afternoon, and again late at night, Jimmy, light winds becoming east to northeasterly, 15 to 25 k's in the middle of the day, then just lightening off late in the evening. So a partly cloudy day in Sydney, top temperature of 28 degrees, Jim. What about at Liverpool and up at Lightning Ridge?
Well, for once it's actually different at Liverpool. It's actually going to be a bit hotter. 33 degrees, a maximum to Liverpool, 35 out at Penrith, in fact. And in Lightning Ridge, hot with a possible light shower, maximum temperature, 42 degrees.
Texts and emails on the Big Sports Breakfast are brought to you by the Wide Line Windows and Doors 24/7 online quoting app. Take a closer look at wideline.com.au. For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. Penrith Mazda Centre is family owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the VT50. The VT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. Come and see the VT50 specialists at the Mazda Youth Centre Penrith with over 40 VT50s on display. Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
The mighty All Blacks, shelled by Ireland for the first time in history. Their American dream has come true. It's taken 111 years, 29 meetings, and so much heartache. There we are. It's Serena Williams. Number 22, irresistible, majestic, and the judgment of history will surely be that she was in a class of her own.
Here's the 0-1. This is going to be a tough play. Why?
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, the Cubs win the World Series and LeBron James wears a Cubs uniform walking into...
That was part of the bet,
taking
wasn't it?
On Chicago Bulls, yeah, with Dwayne Wade, his great mate. That's Dwayne it. Wade. How good was that? All that sort of stuff coming up over the next 3 hours, those fun facts... That is going to be completely worthless during the course of your Sunday. 1353 53 is the open line number. You can get us on the SMS as well. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. And of course, get us on the tweets at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. It's a huge program. It's massive. It's gargantuan. I can't say anything else, Raymond.
It's pretty big.
It's pretty big. We're excited about it. We've got interviews and insights and talk topics.
Just a piece of paper there, Jimmy.
Anyway, here we go. Race replays. We've got to get through them, obviously, at some stage during the course of the morning. John O'Shea will be on. A couple of winners for Godolphin yesterday. Joe Pride, Curo back for him. Gay Waterhouse, Sweet Redemption. Training going well for the training partnership of Waterhouse and Bot. Bjorn Baker goes up to Queensland, has a couple of winners. Incredible scenes up there, weather-wise.
Yeah, last race called off.
Last race called off, had a bet in that. Phil Moss will tell us about all the football going on at the moment. We've got our event cinema quiz. It's a big one today, not least because we have our gold class double pass to give away, courtesy of event cinemas at Parramatta, Prakash and the team out there. And not only that, Ray, it's now got to the pointy end of the season where if you don't win... It's all over.
The pressure is getting to me.
25-23.
Sleepless
with
night.
Three Sundays remaining in season 2016.
To win.
So for example, if I win today, then I win 3-2. You know, in the golf?
Correct.
In the match play, there we go.
And the it's a carton of your choice, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Which would be?
Oh, look, I'd have. Probably have to have a look at the most expensive one.
Be right.
Even if I didn't enjoy drinking it. Ah, yuck. Anyway, costs Ray a lot of money. We'll have the scratchings around New South Wales with Tanya. Trent Lenscar from tab.com.au will get a sports update with Tanya as well. Steve Foster and Sons. We might have Scotty. We don't know. We might have to do it ourselves. We'll just see how he wakes up on a Sunday morning. But this is the one we're really excited about as well. Our legend of the game is a guy who's you've been probably listening to him and seeing a bit of him over the last certainly few weeks, but you might do him during the course of the whole year. Channel 7 golf commentator, Ian Baker Finch.
And there is none better commentating golf.
He isn't he fantastic? You can understand why. First inside. ESPN and then CBS Sports.
His insight in the game is extraordinary.
And, of course, a 1991 major championship winner.
And what a career he had. What a fantastic career.
Incredible story. Mm. Incredible story. So we're looking forward to speaking to Ian Baker Finch. Dare I say it, Roman? It is a massive program. Good morning, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. I was trying to work out, Jim, what the biggest sports story of the week was. Was it the tiff between Glenn Maxwell and Matthew Wade on the eve of the first one day of today?
What's your take on that?
You know what, I thought Maxwell was just offering an honest opinion. But I think in a situation like that, at a press conference, maybe he should have bitten his lip. But I didn't think that much of it. But haven't the cricket gods come down on him hard, fined him, really made an example of him? I guess the one thing you've got to have, Jimmy, is the one team ethos, which I'm always on about in here as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work.
Recalcitrant. What's your take on it?
It's funny. Mm. You've got your journalist hat on there, and you like how refreshing it was to hear Glenn Maxwell say something. And, you know, the other thing about it is, I understand saying it publicly has got himself in trouble with his team and all that sort of stuff. Mate, I reckon he's 100% correct.
Absolutely.
You cannot tell me that Glenn Maxwell is not a better batsman than Matthew Wade.
And that's the point.
And Matthew Wade is batting himself ahead of Glenn Maxwell so that he can get an opportunity to score more runs to make the test side. 100%. It is as clear as the nose on everyone's face and understands why Glenn Maxwell wants to go to New South Wales.
Yep, and why he was frustrated, missed the first game of the Shield season as well. So,
ridiculous.
I don't know, but it did certainly has created the right headlines going into the first one day of today.
So I'm with Maxwell.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you as well. I'm with Maxwell too. Semi Radraja, was that the biggest sports story of the week? What is happening there? Looks like today Dave Riccio's got a story in the Sunday Telegraph saying that Semi wants to stay and win a comp with Parramatta, and he's disappointed with the French club Toulon for coming out early when he hadn't even received a contract. So that's been a movable feast, Jimmy. But
well, hang on. There's a lot of things at play here too, Ray. He says he's going to stay. He's contracted to.
He has to.
Like, he has to. The offer from Toulon's not till 2018, correct, so he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. He also has the issue of a court appearance, which is a very serious allegation that he'll face on February 13. There is the chance that he won't play for Parramatta.
Correct.
Because if he is found guilty of domestic violence charges, then I would be very surprised if the NRL didn't rub him out for a year. Mm. They've shown that in the past, and this would be a open and shut case, I would have thought, from that point of view.
Yep.
So it's not all settled yet for Semi Radraja and the Parramatta Eels.
Plenty to play out there. Have to watch for that. Sydney FC lost the FFA Cup Wednesday night. That man, Timmy Cayley, you could almost put your last dollar on him getting the winner. He gets the winner. The Wallabies lose this morning 37-21 to a rampant England. But the biggest sports story of the week, Jimmy, has to be Tiger Woods. It's been phenomenal. And what he's done at the moment, he's currently at 10 under. He's four shots off the lead going through the ninth hole in round three. This is after he started with a 73, one over. Yesterday, shot a flawless 65, seven birdies, no bogeys. And he's keeping that form going today.
He was three under through three. He's now four under through nine. He's had five birdies and a bogey.
We were discussing this last week, and my point was that what's happened off the field has basically ruined Tiger's career on the field.
Yeah, I didn't agree with
you. You didn't agree with it. I think, Jimmy Smith, it's 1-0 to you. he's come back and he's just, this is extraordinary, against a field of absolute stars, and he is competitive.
It's a Mickey Mouse tournament.
But he's competing, Jimmy. That's the key. Well, they all want to win. They're all elite sports men in terms of these golfers.
Yes.
They're not out to run seconds. So they all want to win. Here's Tiger after how long? 18 months?
Oh, yeah.
Coming back and playing at a level which no one thought he could play at so quickly.
Mm.
He is an extraordinary athlete.
It does go back to the Ian Baker Finch story when he missed 32 consecutive cuts on the PGA Tour. And he said the worst thing was he was out on the practice fairway and striking the ball magnificently. Mm. And then he'd get to competition and there was an anxiety associated with that. Now, all I'm saying is this is not the most high-profile tournament that Tiger Woods is going to actually try and play.
Tiger Woods, he's quite the opposite to, I guess, mere mortals, Jimmy. When it comes to the spotlight, he thrives in it. And Shane Warne used to say how he could compartmentalise his life once he walked through those gates onto a cricket
field. Did he say that?
Or
word,
maybe people
specifically?
Were, probably not. He probably couldn't spell it, but but he knew what you were talking about.
Ray Thomas bagging Shane Warne. I can't believe it.
What I'm saying is
once
Tiger Woods walks onto a fairway and a golf course, he seems to be able to put everything aside and just play to a level which, Jimmy, you could only dream about if you were just a normal PGA player. So
what about Nico Rosberg? Wins a Formula One Grand Prix championship?
Yeah, at 34. Almost,
and then retires.
Almost like his life's destiny.
Yeah.
And they've grown up, he and Lewis Hamilton as great mates. They're virtually the same age.
Great mates?
Well, they were for a long, long time. They're not anymore.
Yeah.
Massive falling out because of that professional, what would you call it?
Competitiveness. Professional competitiveness.
Yeah, almost jealousy at certain aspects. And Lewis Hamilton, you see his most recent comment, Nico Rosberg's decision to retire.
Yeah.
It was pretty ordinary, wasn't it?
He's
waited, 17 years to get the gig, and he gets it, so he retires now.
Yeah.
I thought it was ordinary.
No, I didn't like that one. John Grant, he's still there. He's hanging on. Might be by his fingernails. Some of the information that I've had during the course of the week, it's not cut and dried that he will go, John Grant. He might step down.
Hang on, rewind. Didn't you say last week if you had all 16 clubs on board, all 16 clubs voted no confidence,
Was
it 42 days and he was out?
Yes,
so,
but...
Okay, update.
Okay, so the Titans and the Knights have gone back on their initial, what they were talking about and in support. So they are owned by the NRL, so they've gone and supported the NRL, which was always going to happen, you would think.
Yep.
They've still got 14 clubs and New South Wales Rugby League against John Grant. The Queensland Rugby League's gone back to John Grant as well. So he's gathering numbers. Now the problem is that he has to, or the clubs have to stand firm. Will they stand firm? I was speaking to a club representative during the course of the week, and they were teetering. They were teetering in their support.
That,
and you know why?
Yeah.
The reason is this. The rationale of what John Grant and Todd Greenberg are talking about is very real, in that the National Rugby League doesn't have the money they thought they had. And the reason they haven't, they've got the money they thought they had, but they're going to have to spend, and don't underestimate how important it is to have your digital component and your media in place for the next broadcast deal. I know we're talking 5 years away, but remember, the AFL's already started 5 years down the track. What the broadcast deal looks like in 5 years' time might be very different to now. It might, you know, free-to-air and a subscription provider being in there might look very different. So you've got to get that in order. Originally, they were quoted $70 million, the National Rugby League. From what I understand now, the quote is out to $150 million to get that media arm and the digital rights, et cetera, in order. As a result of that, they've got to find $80 million from somewhere.
Which they haven't got.
So it's not that the clubs don't agree with what they're saying. It's the manner in which it was done.
You know,
out of the country for 3 weeks, here it is on the table, and said, we're taking that off the table.
And my understanding too, Jimmy, is that the MOU, the Memorandum of Understanding, actually expired.
Yes.
So they...
They're within their rights to do it.
Exactly.
But that doesn't mean it's popular, and that doesn't mean... you should be doing it, and certainly not in the fashion that they did it. So that's the problem that they have. That's the problem that they have. So we'll watch that one with interest as well. So talk about big stories during the week. There's a heap of them. And we want to hear from you. 1353 53, the open line number. As I said, the SMS, they're already coming in. Jimmy and Ray, did you guys listen to the sport in that news bulletin? Yeah, they had that a little mixed around.
That's wrong.
That's why we cleared it up very quickly. So, yes, Tom, we did. So I'm glad you were listening as well, because usually we're not. 1353 53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back. And we're releasing a talk topic today that, gee, we're excited about, aren't we?
I am. I've actually got one now. So I've got one now.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Friday night racing at Canterbury Park is back this summer.
This Friday night, enjoy the thrill of live night racing on one of Australia's premier racecourses. No other venue takes you closer to the stars and all the racing action from the track. With a feature race every meeting, street food market and entertainment for the kids, Canterbury Park is the place to be this summer. Plus, enjoy free entry and $5 tap beer and house wine. For more information, visit www.theatc.com.au.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
The Man Shake helped me lose weight, and now I have more energy to be a better dad.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Jimmy, yes. Our studio audience has been reduced to zero.
We had such, you know, well, it's exciting it doing was. This in front of a live audience, isn't it?
In front of, I should tell the listeners, young Jimmy, or Jimmy Smith's little boy, yes. Young River, turned five last week. He's always wanted to come and watch Daddy work, but he's lasted about 15 minutes, had enough of you, mate.
He said, can I go back now? I'm thinking, back home? You better be a bit more patient, son.
He's had enough of you.
Anyway, he's had enough. RIP, freedom of speech. What an absolute disgrace, Cricket Australia, finding Glenn Maxwell. What a bloody joke. All he did was be honest.
That's the bottom line.
That's Laurie at Tomorong. I'm with you, Laurie.
I think
the fine is excessive. I know, talk about respect and all that. I hope they said, listen, mate, we're just fining you because we have to. But just don't do it again, all right? Don't do it publicly. We know you're right. Matthew Wade's batting in front of you. You're a better batsman. He just wants to make the test side. Absolute joke. And then you get this. Like Watson and Mitchell Pearce, Glenn Maxwell is a pelican and frankly wouldn't pick any of them three gooses. Sophie at Strathfield. She's always got a way, hasn't she?
Good morning, Sophie.
Good morning, Sophie.
And that's Maxwell too. He does polarise opinion because he's such a talent. Certain times of his career, he's delivered big time. A lot of the times, though, he hasn't delivered.
Will he play today?
You'd like to think so.
You couldn't put him in the side, could you, today?
But you'd want to put him in, wouldn't you? As almost a vote of solidarity, the team ethos, we're all going to play, we're one team, away we go.
Well, hang on, if you were turning up to the cricket today, would you want him to play?
Yes, I
absolutely
would.
I want to see
Glenn Maxwell play. He's fantastic to watch.
Yeah, interesting, the comments from the CEO of the Cricket New South Wales, Andrew Jones, saying... We like to help people explore the outer limits of their talent. We'd love to have him here.
Exactly.
So he is a guy who is underutilised talent.
Oh, he's got more talent in his little toe than the whole body. Speaking of which, Jim Smith, a little segue into your talk topic, which I actually think is one of your flashes of inspiration.
You sound surprised. So we were reading during the week about Josh Mansour. He's allograft. His allograft is where he's taken the tendon from a deceased person and put it in his ACL. For the ACL, and they think he might be back quicker than anticipated, May as opposed to July. And as a result of that, he made the comment, he said, look, it's a little bit weird, you know, you've got a part of a dead person in your body. Has no idea who that person is, but that's the way. So as a result of that today, we said, well, who would you like a piece of?
If you could get a
sports person. So, for example, if you had a heart like Farlap, right?
Like it, yeah.
Okay. If you had Don Bradman's eyesight or levels of concentration, what would you want?
You stole the two or three best ones.
Yeah.
Can you actually say certain things, certain parts? Because I was going to say Greg Chappell's cover drive.
Could you?
Can you say that?
Gee, how would you transplant that into someone?
I don't know how you can do that.
No. But, yes, you can say that.
Magnificent shot because you had the wherewithal to get in position and do it. When he hit the...
Does that make sense? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Why don't we expand it so you can have that element as well? So, like, for instance, Tiger Woods' swing, if you wanted to...
Well, Tiger Woods' swing's got him all the back issues. He's got now.
He's won 14 majors as well.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. So there you go. There's the talk topic. 13,
did we clarify that very well or not?
Yeah, we've got it.
Okay.
I don't know whether the listeners have got it, but we've got it. And, of course, we've got some stuff to give away, too, if you're any good. Times Catches Live, Australian-made 30th anniversary edition. This is a DVD. It's got 15 tracks, In Excess, Jimmy Barnes, The Saints, The Vinyls, The Models. They're all there, so that's a DVD to give away.
And?
Yeah, oh, and the ARIA Awards, too, 30th. What did you think? Did you see the Veronica's performance?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, what did you make of it, Ray?
It was quite good.
Fantastic. So there you go. 1353.53.
What did you make of it, Jim?
By the way, oh, fantastic. Okay. Big fan. They're tiny, apparently. They're literally about 4'8".
We'll move on.
The Veronicas. Anyway. Yeah, I was talking about their height, right? Okay. I don't know what you were talking about. 1353.53.
We'll move right on now.
By the way, Sports Year Diary for the best caller today, too, courtesy of sportsyear.com.au, sportsyear.com.au. Let's get to the callers now. Doug is on the line. G'day, Doug.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Good morning,
yeah,
Doug.
Well, mate.
I got two topics about John Grant.
Yes.
I reckon he should be stood down, mate. I think the clubs are getting close to getting rid of him.
He's a roadblock right now, isn't he, Doug?
Yeah, he is.
And that's the thing. He might retain the votes, but if you can't bring everyone to the negotiating table, then it's an unworkable situation.
And Eddie Jones and the Australian coach, I forgot his name.
Michael Checker.
That was more interest in the test match almost, the banter between those two in the lead-up, wasn't
what
it,
What about Glenn Eller?
Yeah.
Didn't Checker have a go at him, Doug?
Yeah. Oh, I can't say nothing because I might get up for discrimination if I say something.
That's true. I'll tell you what, though, Doug, hasn't Eddie Jones just reinvented himself now as he left... He was kicked out of Australian rugby, wasn't he, virtually? But he's reinvented himself via Japan, where he took Japan to a World Cup and a couple of huge upsets. And now England, what, 14 straight?
14 straight, which is equal to their record. Mm. And here's the thing that I didn't know. Eddie Jones's rugby knowledge, et cetera, is you know, almost unparalleled. But what he's been able to do is change.
Yeah. Yeah.
From the person who would belittle people in public.
Adapt.
Exactly. Mm. And that's now, you could argue, one of the great rugby coaches in the world. 1353.53. Good on you, Doug. Appreciate that call.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's go to, Blind Freddy up at Mudgee. The boys were up at Mudgee on Friday. Hello, Blind Freddy.
G'day, fellas. How are you going?
Really well.
Hey, listen, the part of someone that I would like.
Careful.
I would like the Rain Man's memory. Thank you.
Yes.
It's fading.
Yes, good point.
Clean up of the cards and all the rest of it. Mate, that'll do me. That's all I want. No sporting, just the Rain Man's memory, mate, and I'm away.
Have you ever used it, Ray, to your advantage to say a...
No, Blind Freddy's talking about Rain Man in the movie.
Oh, who are we talking about here?
Yeah, Rain Man in the movie, mate. Haven't you seen it?
Oh.
Give me.
Yeah, I have. Tom Cruise, sometimes Ray Thomas is...
No. Rain Man in the movie.
As Rain Man because of your encyclopedic knowledge. No.
You know where I'm coming from, Ray, don't
I do, yeah. And you can use that in card games and
exactly,
at a casino, anything, couldn't
counting
you?
Counting cards? Oh. Isn't that illegal?
Yeah, of course it is.
If you've got
the talent to do it.
Hang on. What did you say then, Blind Freddy? It's not illegal if you get away with it.
That's correct, mate.
And Blind Freddy's right.
Involved.
And you're right, Freddy, too. If I don't know you're counting the cards, you can do it in a very unobtrusive way, Jimmy. Just
hey, Jimmy.
Yeah, but if you drive home over the limit and you get home, have you broken the law?
It's a different moral equation you're going there.
No, it's not.
That depends if you're caught, Jimmy.
Get off, Blind Freddy.
It's gone straight to the top for the callers. I love it, Blind Freddy.
Why don't we send Blind Freddy out this one of these DVDs, Australian Mate? I think he'd appreciate that. Yeah. Good on you. Stay
Mitch
on the
line.
Blind Freddy. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, boys. How are we?
Good morning,
Mitch. Well.
Mate, first of all, I'm the John Grant. I think that roadblock's going to become a speed bump quite soon.
Mm.
What do you mean by that, Mitch?
Yeah, I think the clubs, first caller said, just absolutely had enough. So it's time for, a bit of action.
There's an impasse there, isn't it, Mitch? And it looks like unlikely to be resolved. And that's just holding everything up, isn't it?
Yeah, it's holding the entire game back while the other codes are progressing. But
surely John Grant can see that. Surely John Grant can see that, boys. But he doesn't seem like he does he? He's almost oblivious to it.
I think he does. It's just a bit of stubbornness there.
There you go. Yeah,
I think so. Either way, as far as the talk topic, that's the thing of this morning. I would trade my left hand for Conor McGregor's any day of the week.
Oh, see, this is the
love
stuff.
It, yeah. Love it.
That is good.
Love it, yeah.
Remember, we're not here to take part, Mitch. We're here to take over.
Where's Mitch?
Belt.
His press conferences are unbelievable.
Love it.
He's an absolutely unbelievable athlete, for one, and businessman / marketing genius, too.
Love it. Yeah.
And the second point you make is exactly right. He's walked out and he said, I want a part of the UFC. I want some equity in it. And he got in at the wrong time because they started it to $2 million and they sold it for $4 billion. But He has had the five highest rating or most sold fights in UFC history.
Hey, Mitch, great call. Hey, Mitch, you'll love this. A CD, 30 Years of the Arias, some great songs on it from Crowded House, John Farm, Tina Arena, all the way through. You'll love it. Mitch, coming your way, mate. Great call.
Good on you, Mitch. I do appreciate that. SMS come in. Which body part? Easy. Linford. Oh, come on. See, this is where Don from Carlton really lets himself. See, he's a mate of yours now, Ray.
Lovely man, Don. He said
Linford Christie. Get, you know, just getting ahead of yourself. News time now, Don.
Andrew Collins. Police have charged a Melbourne man with murder over a stabbing attack on a French tourist in the Northern Territory. The 33-year-old victim was stabbed to the neck on Wednesday in front of his wife north of Alice Springs. The 35-year-old man's been receiving treatment at hospital for heat exhaustion, but he's now been charged and will face court on Monday. The former leader of the Queensland LNP says it's time to go after nearly 30 years in state politics. Lawrence Springborg says he won't contest his seat of Southern Downs at the next Queensland state election due in early 2018. Mr. Springborg spearheaded the move to forge Queensland's Liberal and National parties into the LNP and has led the party three times during his 28-year political career. Earlier this year, he was narrowly defeated in a leadership ballot by current Queensland LNP leader Tim Nicholls. Authorities have uncovered the suspected exploitation of foreign workers during a search of a Victorian property. A number of people ran into surrounding panics, but about 80 officers from Australian Border Force, Federal Police and the Fair Work Ombudsman arrived at the property just southeast of Melbourne. The raids uncovered 61 illegal migrant workers and seized about $400,000 in cash. South Australian authorities are bracing for a day of high fire danger with high temperatures, rising winds and thunderstorms forecast today. The Country Fire Service has declared severe conditions in eight South Australian regions. Despite a warning from the federal government, the city of Fremantle plans to go ahead with its bold move to shift Australia Day festivities to January 28 instead of the 26th. It's citing cultural sensitivities, but Canberra has warned the council it'll take away its powers to hold citizenship ceremonies if it holds them on its alternative day. An American teenager convicted of killing an Australian man in Oklahoma will be resentenced after his life term was overturned on appeal. Chris Lane was shot and killed while jogging in southwestern Oklahoma. Chancey Luna was 16 at the time he committed the crime and was jailed for life without parole, but that sentence has now been overturned on appeal. The teenager will be resentenced. Two severe thunderstorms have brought heavy rain, hail and destructive winds to southeast Queensland overnight. It's also left a teenage boy in hospital after being struck by lightning. A number of regions have recorded rainfalls of up to 45 millimetres in the space of just half an hour. At least nine people are dead and about 25 others missing after a massive fire broke out during a late-night party rave in a warehouse in Oakland, California. Fire officials were still trying to determine how the fire started. The roof collapsed, complicating efforts to recover the bodies. And the White House is warning us Australia's refugee resettlement deal with the US could be in jeopardy when Donald Trump becomes president. The Obama administration's agreed to resettle some of the 1,600 people currently in offshore detention on Manus Island and Nauru. But a spokesman for the White House says there's one president at a time who sets the policies. This is Air News. The Wallabies have ended their 2016 season with a loss to England in the overnight clash at Twickenham. England secured its fourth successive victory over the Aussies, winning 37-21. It's the Wallabies' ninth loss in a row. Cricketer Glenn Maxwell has cleared the air over his availability for today's first one-day international against New Zealand. It comes after teammate Matthew Wade spoke openly to the media. Maxwell says he's available despite public comments made by Wade earlier this week. Wade has been spoken to by the Australian captain Steve Smith and fined. Queenslander Andrew Doat has had a 2-shot lead following a weather-interrupted round 3 of the PGA Championship on the Gold Coast. He's 14 under par, 2 shots clear of America's Harold Varner III and Aussie Ash Hall. Adam Scott is tied for fourth, four shots off the pace. Melbourne City fought back from a goal down to claim a one-all draw with Brisbane Roar in last night's A-League clash. And Shane van Gisbergen's become the first New Zealander in 25 years to win the Australian Touring Car Championship. Red Bull teammate Jamie Wincup won race one of the season-ending Sydney 500, but a podium finish was enough to seal the title. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Confusing Glenn Maxwell and Matthew Wade there. Partly cloudy, 20% chance of a light shower in the outer west during the afternoon and again late at night. Light winds becoming east to north easterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day, then becoming light in the late evening. Partly cloudy today, a maximum of 28 degrees in Sydney town. What about at Potts Point and Perisher Valley, Raymond?
Potts Point, strangely enough, ditto Sydney, Jim.
Can I believe
partly
that?
Cloudy in 28. Perisher Valley, cool, one of the cooler parts of the state today. Currently, it's only 13 degrees down at Perisher, heading for a top temperature of 20 degrees, mostly sunny at Perisher Valley.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy and Ray. Greg Chappell's cover drive doesn't quite work, does it, Jim?
Oh, I was prepared to go with it, mate. You know what I mean.
My second one was...
Yes.
To get more back onto your theme.
Yes.
Usain Bolt's speed, which is a nice little segue into Jack from Old Bar. I love Jack from Old Bar's comment here. He would love to have Ali's mouth, Phelps's lungs, Bolt's feet, and Floyd Mayweather's bank account. If I had all that... then they would all want my smile. Jack from Old Bar, very well done.
Not bad, not bad. Let me get this one. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. Can you tell me if Raimondo invented the term early doors? And the part I'd like is Joel Garner's feet. Okay, chips with chicken salt at Maitland. No, you didn't invent it, but you do use it. It's a great term, and I only heard it when I went to England in 2000.
I didn't realise this until you told me that off air.
Early doors, yeah. And they used to use it all the time over there, the player, the boys from England. And
what's it mean?
And apparently it comes from when English pubs closed in the afternoon, customers who were waiting or arrived soon after the pub reopened in the evening were known as early doors. So you're there early doors.
Like it.
But they used to say it all the time, and it's one of those ones that catches on.
Yeah.
Very good.
I tell you, we'll catch on, Jimmy.
What's that?
James Doyle.
I thought you were going to say race replays.
Well, that is what we'll get to. That.
It's a staple. There we go.
Your favourite part of the show. But seriously, James Doyle.
Yes.
Certainly made a lot of people sit up and take notice yesterday. A couple of his rides were excellent. He put the writing on the wall in race one. Jimmy, where's your black book? Put
this
horse's name down, Trekking. It is going places.
Trekking is trucking up into third, followed by Goodfella, then Gore Loir, and last of all is Herrera, making hard work of it. Into the straight, and Pimble still on the bridle from All Too Ready. Now Trekking, Doyle's got to try and push his way off the fence. He's got to be aggressive. He's got the run now, and Trekking gives chase to Pimble, then Goodfella and Gore Loir. But Trekking now put pay to Pimble. Goodfella can't do much more, nor can Gore Loir, and the first favourite, Trekking's home, and James Doyle opens up his city account. It's Trekking, a nice winner from Goodfella.
It was a short price and it ran accordingly. And
impressive.
Not a bad ride there from James Doyle, but it gets better during the day, doesn't it?
It did. And it was an interesting point just in the home turn, Jim, when he was just held up behind the leader coming into the straight. Wasn't a lot of room. And I love John O'Shea's quote after the race when I said, oh, look, James Doyle showed a bit of G&D to get out of that pocket.
Yeah.
And John O'Shea said, if the boys, a la other jockeys, thought they were going to put it over James Doyle, they may have a different approach now.
Right.
Very, very good ride. Down to race six, Jim, the Starlight Stakes. Curo's been a long time out of the winner's circle, but Joe Price got this horse back in form. His two runs going into the Starlight were excellent, and Curo back to his best.
Nieta. She's midfield, but she's been wide from the outset and further back to ins and out. Shiraz to the outside. Supreme Effort looking for clear running. Didn't cost a lot, the leader. Prince Famous goes to it. Then came Curo Nieta. She's trying a hard out on the outside. Supreme Effort with the last shot at them. Nieta's going after Curo. Prince Famous, then Supreme Effort. It's Curo in front from Nieta, who's running on empty now. Curo's kicking, and Curo got the money from Nieta. I think Prince Famous third, just in front of ins and out. out.
Probably a bit too much for Nieder to do from that wide gate. Kuro gets the win. Now set for the Sydney Sprint Series, potentially.
Yeah, we've won the first leg. Goes into the Razor Sharp next, and then onto the Canterbury Classic. He may get a little bit more weight as he goes on, though, Jim. That's
sure.
The only concern. But he's back in form. That's the main thing.
And we're going to speak to Joe Pride about that a little bit later.
James Doyle again, ATC Cup. This one was almost right of the day. Brilliant effort. Ballas, too good for Beyond Thankful.
He tries to pinch a break on the bull. Abdullah goes for home as they straighten up. Two lengths clear from Dance of Heroes. The bull's getting to the middle part of the track. They're followed by Iggy Pop, Beyond Thankful. Mellis back towards the inside. The bull's running on empty now. Beyond Thankful goes up the inside with Mellis. Beyond Thankful and Mellis, they go to the front together. And Mellis went past Beyond Thankful. And Mellis is starting to edge clear with the side winkers on today. It's Mellis from Beyond Thankful and Iggy Pop third.
Weaved his way through on that occasion, James Doyle, and Malice gets the win after another bit like Kuro. In fact, a longer wait than Kuro for a victory, 734 days. So we'll have a chat to John O'Shea about that and a couple of other things later this morning.
Gay Waterhouse had been over in New York, Jimmy, had a bit of a break, only flew back into Sydney late on Friday night, turned up at Rose Hill yesterday with Adrian Bott. There they are, back in the winner's circle in the Festival Stakes with Sweet Redemption.
Geese will make the turn very deep and Pajero tracking up behind. Further back to Extensible is looking for runs on the inside. Sweet Redemption at the 350. A length and a half to Ninth Legion. Red Excitement running on. Then came Geese, Pajero right down the outside. It's Sweet Redemption in front. They're all charging at it. Coming at it on the outside is Red Excitement. Hazard Bill's getting a late split. Sweet Redemption in front. Amavacio's finishing fast with Extensible, but Sweet Redemption staving off all challenges. Sweet Redemption from Hazard Bill. Third, I'm not sure. Red Excitement, Extensible and Amavacio.
Well, she's a tough horse. Always gives her best, apparently, on the training paddock end on game day. And probably the scratching of Religify. I don't think a lot of the punters found Sweet Redemption because of that lead up front. But she did it. And now maybe Magic Millions for the million-dollar race up there, Roman.
And then haven't ruled out the Villiers, so we'll ask a little bit later whether the Villiers is still a chance. Jimmy, the final Group 1 race of the season was, of the year, sorry, over in Perth yesterday. I wonder if they got our good friend Miracle Mallow.
Should have.
Kingston Town Classic.
Should have.
Didn't see him in the coverage.
Synonymous with Kingston Town.
Anyway, Darren Weir, bit of a coup here. Set Stratum start for the Kingston Town Classic, and he gets the job done.
McIntosh in front. Scales of Justice now gets on level terms at the top of the home straight. They balance up and Scales of Justice got about a half to three quarters of a length as White went for home. Stratum Star's a length and a half away from Perfect Reflection. Here comes Cowie winding up. White draws the whip. Scales of Justice at the 100. Stratum Star pegging it back. Scales of Justice, Stratum Star, Stratum Star, Scales of Justice, Scales of Justice, Stratum Star, Stratum Star. Stratum Star and Scales of Justice went to the line. Stratum Star's one and a half head. Scales of Justice second, three lengths behind them. Perfect Reflection from Cowie.
So congratulations to Darren Weir. Stratum Star gets the win over there in, what did you say, it's the last Group 1 of the 2016.
Yes.
Of 2016. Yes. So that's significant. So well done. So good in Sydney. But
Darren Weir, I know he had another loser again yesterday. We were talking about yesterday in the press room. It's going to happen. Like when it does, like the kid with the finger in the dike, isn't it? Once it happens once, he's going to knock up winning races in Sydney.
Do you reckon?
I think so.
That's that's your thought.
What do you think? No, you think the form on the board's not good?
No. Anyway.
Well, he just had no luck. No luck in Sydney.
Yeah.
It'll turn around.
Fair enough.
But Jimmy, from yesterday's meeting, just make sure you keep trekking
in the book. So where will trekking go now? I suppose
we'll go for a break.
John about it.
We'll ask John shortly. He'll go for a break.
Right.
But then get set for a autumn campaign into the Golden Slipper.
Yeah, all right. 1353 is that open line number. We're looking for the body part, whatever it may be, of a... can you say Keith Miller's poise? Because Keith Miller's poise on a cricket field was legendary.
Wouldn't mind his charisma either.
Oh, well, there you go. Because, by the way, I'm watching the series The Crown. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's about Queen Elizabeth II and Princess Margaret features in it.
Tim, I love that.
Yeah, it's a brilliant series, like superbly done. John Lithgow as Winston Churchill is outstanding. But it's a great series. But every time I see Princess Margaret, I keep waiting for Keith Miller to turn up. But anyway, 1353 53, the open line number. Breaking back with more.
This truly magical thoroughbred, able
Singapore, Japan, Korea. The best of Asian racing. Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Get a 10% Bingley gift card with any 4K UHD TV from Samsung, LG, Sony or Hisense. Yes, a 10% Bingley gift card with a 4K UHD TV. Here's the deal. Buy a TV with around 8 million tiny dots called pixels on the screen.
Lano, did you count them?
The tech guys did, Mum, and they call it 4K UHD, ultra high definition. Get a 10% gift card when you buy one at Bingley. For a limited time only.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
Lose the beer gut without losing all the beers. G'day, Adam McDougall here.
My husband lost his beer gut and now is happier and healthier than ever, thanks to the Man Shake.
Shake off those extra kilos today at themanshake.com.au.
Consult your GP before beginning any diet.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. 1353 53 is the open line number. Look, if you're a little confused with our talk topic, so are we. We'll just go the body part, all right? Because so Josh Mansell's got the tendon, so what would you want? So Don Bradman's eyes.
So Usain Bolt's speed doesn't work?
No, get his hamstrings or his quads. I know you like his quads, so maybe you can get
weird.
His quads. Yeah, well, something in that. So okay. Greg Chappell's cover drive doesn't work, but Farlap's heart works.
In a human being?
Sure. Yeah. How many times have you heard a commentator say, with a heart like Farlap? Because Farlap did actually have an oversized heart.
He did.
Didn't he?
Double the size of a normal horse.
Yeah.
Like Secretariat.
Yeah.
He had a massive heart.
Did he?
Huge heart. Bigger than Farlap's Secretariat's.
Is that right?
It was 17 pounds or something. Farlap's was 14, I think, by memory. Yeah. So.
There you go.
That's staggered you, isn't it?
It has.
We'll see what John O'Shea thinks about
John O'Shea will be
topic.
Thinking, what on earth are these guys talking about?
John, good morning. Thanks for joining us. And we'll get serious now, John. I said to Jimmy before the ad break that Trekking's a two-year-old, I think, with a big future. And so is this stable jockey, James Doyle. He was terrific yesterday. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Ray. How are you? Hey, Jim.
Hey, John.
What did you think, John, both of Trekking and particularly James Doyle yesterday?
Well, we're very happy for James. We've obviously got a lot of faith in everything he does. It's just breaking him into the hot boiler pot, which is the Sydney racing media and Sydney public. So it was important that James got off on a winning note so that he was under no duress or pressure to feel that he had to perform here. So I think he'll just get about it in a more relaxed manner now that he's got himself on the board, and I think, his ride on Malice was indicative of his quality as a, international rider.
Mm. Give us an indication of his personality. Is he laid back? Is he intense? Where is he on the spectrum, John?
He's a very relaxed fella, and he's a really pleasant fella to work with, most importantly, and, he's got a great demeanour about him, and, he's a wonderful part of our team.
And Darren Beedman's role, I know he mentioned a few things before the win of Malice, but how important is it having someone like Darren with his great experience around it to help James?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, it's great for both our jockeys in that respect. And we sort of made a conscious decision with regard to James Doyle's sort of, lead up to his riding in Sydney that Darren spent a lot of time with. We've gone over quite a bit of background with regard to riding here and in an attempt to make sure that the transition's kind of smooth as possible.
Mm. Now, what about Trekking, John? He's by Street Cry. He's a lovely colt. I suspect 1100 metres is not his go. And he looks to be doing things on just sheer natural ability at the moment.
Yeah, he's a big, playful kid, Ray, but he's out of a man that the boys tell me, could gallop a little bit and a strong family. So he's sort of come along in leaps and bounds very quickly. Mm. And, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, his attitude probably wasn't the best. And he was on the possibles list to be gelded. And obviously after his trial, and then he settled down a good bit and he's gone away and put himself in the picture to be a competitive autumn two-year-old now. So we'll hold off on that until he proves otherwise.
So what's the plan now? You tip him out for a little while and bring him back? Late Jan?
Yeah, mate, he'll be in the paddock tomorrow out at Osborne Park and and then we'll look to give him a run sort of, you know, in the lead up to a skyline or something like that, I would think, and then hopefully qualifying for the Golden Slipper.
Where does he rank in your 2 year olds?
He's sort of probably not the top bench, but you know, he's professional, he's got a good turn of foot, and you know, like, he's a tough little rooster, which will get him a long way.
Mm. You just don't know how much they can improve either, can you, John, from race to race? And from his trial to his win yesterday, he looked a horse with plenty of upside, as did your third place getter. Do I pronounce it correctly, John Gaulois?
Yeah, that's it, mate.
Okay. Lovely run yesterday.
Yeah, no, he's a different sort of colt. Mm. He's a colt that's going to appreciate 1,400 metres and a mile. And if we can give him a nice autumn, hopefully a little bit of success, and then I think coming into the spring of next year, he's a horse that when he gets to a mile, he's going to be very, very effective. So we really like him as a potential sort of Guineas-type horse next year. And he's just sort of marking time and getting himself sort of seasoned for those feature races next season.
Jimmy's just putting it down his little black book as we speak, John. And Malice, John, he was good yesterday. He said, great ride, James Dorr. But he's two runs back this prep, had put the riding on the wall, and good to see the horse back in the winner's stall.
Yeah, he just needed a little luck yesterday, but you know, that and a very effective ride from James Doyle sort of helped him get over the line. He's probably a rider who really needs a strong rider in the final parts of his races, because he's a very relaxed customer, and Doyle sort of just reminded him what winning was about at the furlong, and you know, and it was really good. It was good for the team, and most importantly for the horse, he deserved that win.
We know all about the excitement, the high profile around spring and autumn, obviously, but you know, it doesn't stop really for you guys. John, do you get a chance to get away? Does it slow down at all for you, perhaps over the Christmas period?
Well, it doesn't slow down in the organisation, Jimmy, that's for sure, because just to give you an example, you know, all our autumn horses are back in the joint as of Monday, so Hartnell comes back tomorrow, Stern's been back for a week, and then we had a truckload of eight horses arrive from Europe yesterday. So, as an organisation, you know, it's full on here till probably, you know, mid June, and you know, our season will be cranking up, as it were, you know, in the next month or so. I will have the luxury of my wife's Canadian, so we go back to Canada every 2 years, and the kids will be on the plane on Wednesday, and then I'll follow them, you know, a week and a half later. So I'll have about a week in Quebec, which I really look forward to each time they go.
Bit of skiing?
Bit of skiing, mate. And, yeah, it's pretty cold. They had 50 centimetres of snow there yesterday. So, but it's a good family break, and the kids and my wife and everyone looks forward to it, and so do I, for that matter.
John, just finally from me, can you give us any further update into James McDonald? I know he stood himself down. What's the latest with James?
Well, we're sort of hoping that we could get some movement in terms of the inquiry by the end of next week, which would be nice, in view of the fact that Mac is sitting on the sideline. But that'll be dependent upon, you know, where the stewards think that, you know, they are in terms of their preparation for the inquiry. Mm. You know, it's obviously a challenging time for James. Jimmy, and you'd appreciate with elite young sportsmen, when the first time they meet a little bit of adversity, it's a challenging time for them. And and we're very mindful of that. We hope that we can get a resolution to the matter which is satisfactory for both parties, and a matter that will mean James will be able to move forward and have the career that he deserves, and we'll definitely provide him with plenty of support. I had a very interesting conversation in the last week or so with the leading NRL coach with regard to, you know, how they handle and manage the expectations of these elite young athletes, and how it's changed dramatically in the last 5 years. And so we've been very mindful to keep all that in mind, and so that, you know, when James does come back, that he's not starting from a very low base, as it were.
It's interesting, because we tend to forget, don't we, John, just how young James is. He's still only, 24, I think.
Well, just to put it in perspective, Ray, James has ridden, I think, over 30, 35 Group 1 winners in his career. And Huey, at the same age, has yet to ride one. So
wow, there you go.
We all know how great Huey is. and what a champion rider he is. But that just puts in perspective what he's achieved at a very young age and how much we've all expected of him, despite the fact that, you know, the best probably 10 or 15 years of his riding is still sort of 5 years away. So, we always need to be mindful of his youth and make sure that, you know, we're looking the best interests of James McDonald, the person, as well as James, the jockey.
Well said, John.
Yeah. You don't start knowing everything, do you? It would have been a steep learning curve for James McDonald over the course of the last few months. Good on you, John. Appreciate that. Enjoy that break when you get it, and thanks for coming on the program.
Cheers, boys, and thanks for your year, and I hope the Roosters continue on their downward spiral.
Good on you, John.
See, this is where you let yourself down, John. This is where you let yourself down, mate.
Thanks, John.
Hope Santa brings you nothing.
You can't be saying things
yes,
like
I can.
That. Not to a guest of the show.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. I'll be nicer with Joe.
Okay, Joe Pryor's been good enough to join us, and he had another good winner yesterday with Curo. Joe, good morning, and good to see that horse back in winning form at last.
It certainly was, yeah. That's been, I think, 18 months, so it's a long time out of the winner's circle.
What happened there, Joe? What is it? Oh, I know that the horse went to another stable and then came back, and but would the horses just fall in and out of form?
Oh, look, yeah, I guess that's what they do. He had a pretty extensive three-year-old career in my stable. He was a very successful one too. I think he won four or five races as a three-year-old. It probably took its toll there for a little while. So a stable swap. Didn't really ever settle into Melbourne by the looks of it, but he's back now because his three runs, his tight end, have certainly been getting back towards that sort of standard that he set as a three-year-old.
Well, all three runs have been great, Joe, because he hasn't drawn a barrier every time, so he's had to work at both ends of his races. He carried big weights his first two starts, and he was due yesterday.
He was, yeah. Sort of put the writing on the wall with those runs, and maybe not suited with an apprentice on him. I thought Nick handled him pretty well, but he was a little bit wayward. You know, seeing jockey back on yesterday, and most importantly, just a race run to suit. They really flew along in front. He had this lovely card up behind them, and that was all well and good to get that kind of run. But the most impressive part was the fight he showed at the end once Naita sort of came and challenged him.
He had to show it too, didn't he, to hold off Nieta. And just on Jay Ford, it was a really interesting quote from him after the race, saying Curo's in a really happy place. Can you explain that one to me, Jay?
Yeah, look, I guess he's just talking about the horse's, you know, mental state and just the fact that he would have given Jay the feel yesterday like he really wanted to be part of it, you know.
Enjoying his racing and training, Jay.
Yeah, and that's so important. I mean, my training regime is based on horses being happy and happy horses win races. It's a sort of a simple sort of philosophy, but it's true, and they give their all. I honestly believe that not many horses are actually not genuine, but, you know, not through any fault of their own, but they become that way because of you know, their situations that they're put into. So I think they'll genuinely try very hard for your most horses. So.
Well, Curo is racing particularly. Well, he goes to the Razor Sharp next, I think, Joe. Another horse who's been in terrific form this sort of late spring into the early summer, New Tipperary. What are your plans with him now, Joe?
So he went to the paddock after his most recent win, and he's just been really, really impressive this preparation. He hasn't won any of his races by big margins, but it's more just the manner in which he does it. He's got amazing will to win that horse, and really like him. He's a very progressive horse. He's still quite immature. He's a four-year-old, expecting him to get much better over the next 12 months. So he'll have an autumn campaign. I think he'll be very good in the autumn, I'm sure. But I think the best we'll see from him might be, you know, maybe the spring next year. So.
Terra Vista ran in the West. What's coming up for Terra Vista, Joe?
Yeah, look, he's back. I've sort of had this conversation with a few people. I really can't find the reason why he failed. He put in one of his very average runs. You know, he could throw a million excuses at you, but at the end of the day, they're all irrelevant now. He's back. He's well. I'm very happy with him. He's having a couple of weeks off, and then he'll have an autumn campaign. Probably kick off something like the Lightning. So
he loves that straight course, Jay.
He does. It's one. You know, he's had a few failures in his life, but that's one track. He's never failed. He's got, I think, five or six runs down there have all produced placings. So, any chance we get to take him back to Flemington, we're always very keen.
I asked John, I'll ask you, Joe, it doesn't really go with the seasons, does it? You get any time off over Christmas, or you're starting to ramp up for what's happening in the autumn?
Sure, well, I just spent the longest amount of time I've ever spent away from my stable. I was in Perth for 2 weeks. So
that's right.
I was still working over there, but that broke the previous record of 10 days in PG. So, so it was good. It was a really, really nice time I had over there. I've got some great clients over there, and they really looked after me. I mean, I still had to work with a horse, you know, twice a day, but that was not a hard task. You know, such a beautiful place. I really enjoyed the Perth. But look, that'll probably do me for a holiday for a few months, mate. I don't know if we'll be getting away again anytime soon.
And set a record for us too, earliest ever phone call.
That's right.
I really appreciate that, Joe. Yeah. Just after 4 o'clock Perth time a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. So. Good on you, Joe. Congratulations with Curo. Well done. And again, thanks for your time Sunday morning.
Fantastic. Thanks,
Joe.
Joe Pride there. They started rolling in, Raymond. Morning, Jimmy. I'd like to have Ray's brain for his tipping in horse racing. Magic Mike. P.S. Ray, you don't have to send me a CD. So no problem.
Well, here's a good one. Good morning, boys. Well, actually, I'll save it till after news, Jimmy. Here's the news at 7 o'clock.
I'm Andrew Collins. A series of supercell thunderstorms have again lashed southeast Queensland, leaving a teenager in hospital after being struck by lightning. It's understood the teen was hit while holding a metal door at a home on the Darling Downs. During the peak of last night's storms, about 26,000 homes and businesses across southeast Queensland were without power. Federal police and Border Force officers have been involved in a dramatic raid on a Victorian farm, which has uncovered the exploitation of 61 foreign workers. The illegal migrants were discovered during the search of the farm, which prompted a large group of employees to flee across the fields. It's being seen as a resounding win for the authorities, even though Federal MP Susan Lees has been playing it down, describing it as just a routine operation.
The Department of Immigration has a responsibility to make sure that we don't have an illegal and unauthorised workforce on our farms generally in rural Australia, and it's not a remarkable exercise.
A 9-year-old boy is dead after collapsing at Perth's Warwick Basketball Stadium. The boy was taking part of the state championship basketball playoffs. An ambulance was called, but he could not be revived. It's understood the child had a pre-existing medical condition. A man's been refused bail after facing court charged with lighting a campfire in the Blue Mountains during a total fire ban. The flames sparked a scrub fire on Friday, but emergency crews managed to get on top of the blaze before it got out of hand. Tim Cartwright, the former Victorian Police Acting Chief, has been named to lead the official review of Ambulance Victoria's response to the recent thunderstorm asthma event. 8 deaths have been linked to the event, and about 8,500 people were treated in hospital. The findings of the review will be passed on to the Inspector General of Emergency Management, who's conducting a statewide review of the emergency response to the event. Pressure's mounting on the Fremantle Council to reverse its decision to move its Australia Day festivities from the 28th of January back to the 26th. The federal government has warned the council it'll take away the council's powers to hold citizenship ceremonies. Aboriginal cultural sensitivities are being given as the reason for the council's decision to move the celebration. A teenage girl has been charged with hitting a police officer with a garden ornament and biting another on the New South Wales Mid-North Coast. The 17-year-old's accused of using the cast iron wheel to strike a female officer at a home in Port Macquarie before biting a male officer on the arm. Both senior constables have been treated in hospital with minor injuries. 9 people have been confirmed dead following a warehouse fire in Oakland, California. As many as 25 others are missing. A car bomb in the Iraqi capital Baghdad has killed at least 4 civilians. About 10 people were wounded in the blast, which took place near a government building. There was no immediate claim of responsibility. And the Chinese government has launched diplomatic action after US President-elect Donald Trump broke protocol and directly phoned the Taiwanese president. Former Australian Foreign Affairs Minister Bob Carr's warning that kind of behaviour could provoke a cold war between the two powers. This is Air News. A loss for the Wallabies in the overnight clash with England at Twickenham. England secured its fourth successive victory over the Aussies, winning 37-21. Aussie cricket captain Steve Smith insists there's no rift to the Australian team. It follows Glenn Maxwell's comments about teammate Matthew Wade in the media. The all-rounder has been fined, with Smith admitting he let down the side.
You know, I think everyone was disappointed in his comments. I've expressed that to him myself.
Adam Scott is still in the hunt, four shots off the pace, heading into the final round of the PGA Championship on the Gold Coast. Andrew Doat has a two-shot lead at 14 under par. Australian Open runner-up Ash Hall is tied for second. Shane van Gisbergen's taken out the V8 Supercar Championship, coming in third in race one of the season-ending Sydney 500. Jamie Wincup took first. In the EPL, Chelsea has taken down another major rival en route to an eighth straight win in the English Premier League with a 3-1 win over Manchester City. The Australian men's rugby sevens team has been knocked out by Wales after their 21-12 loss in the quarterfinals of the season opening tournament in Dubai. And Usain Bolt has been named Men's World Athlete of the Year for the sixth time. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, partly cloudy, a slight chance of a light shower in the outer west during the afternoon, and again possibly later on tonight. Light winds becoming east to north easterly, 15 to 25 k's in the middle of the day. Top temperature in Sydney of 28 degrees. Lovely day today, Jimmy. What about at Mount Annan and way out west at Mount Manara?
Mount Manara? Mm. Mount Manara, never heard about of
near
Mount
Ivanhoe,
Manara. Been there. Well, out west in Mount Annan, 33 degrees today, so it's going to be nice and warm. And then let's go even further. Mount Manara, hot with a possible light shower, 41 degrees.
Sky Sports Radio has every angle of the Inter-Dominion Championships covered.
The Shark has returned to win the Inter-Dominion.
This Friday night, it's grand final time at Gloucester Park, and trainer David Aiken pits his star pair, Lenny the Shark, and rising star Hector JJ against the rest.
There's no catching this.
Get your daily updates on Racing HQ
before a big Interdom Friday night with Gareth Hall and Tab's Adam Hamilton here on Sky Sports Radio.
Now, this next caller found love in a very unusual place. Tell us about it, Damo.
Yeah, I was actually out on a boat with the boys.
I'm intrigued.
It was the TJ Smith Stakes. I was miles from a TV, so I watched it live on my Tab app. And Chautauqua, wow!
You've got to love that. It's easy to love a bet when you can prepare for the punt, watch racing live, and relive the action with the Tab app.
Tab, we love a bet.
Replays not available on Victorian thoroughbred races. Gamble responsibly.
USG Boral is a building materials manufacturer that offers more than just ceilings and plasterboard. We deliver innovations designed to help you build better. From creating the very first plasterboard to developing the lightest 10mm and 13mm plasterboard produced in Australia with sag-defying strength, our legacy dates back more than a century. And with every project you do, USG Boral will be there with the products and advice you need. Proud supporter of a job well done. Learn more at usgboral.com.
You know when you're loading a pallet of cement into the back of your ute?
Stop!
Yeah, it's the moment just after you realise it doesn't actually fit.
Oh.
Then you feel your heart drop as you start the process of loading each bag, one by one. If only you were driving a Volkswagen Amarok with the biggest tray size in its class, you just know that it'll get the job done in one go. And with the Amarok Core 4x4 from only $39,990 drive away, you just know it's a great deal. Conditions at vwoffers.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome back to the program. Gay Waterhouse, Bjorn Baker, Phil Moss, Event Cinemas Quiz, some scratchings with Tanya. So it's a big hour coming up. We're taking your calls on 1353 53. Some sports updates over the course of the last 24 hours. Shane Van Gisbergen, congratulations to him, the Red Bull driver, 2016 champ, the first Kiwi to do it since Jim Richards back in 1991.
Correct.
Third in race one yesterday. Jamie Wincup wins it, but Van Gisbergen wins the Supercars title, so that's significant. His first, of course. Tiger Woods, he's been up and down. That's just with his golf, too. He's 4-under for the day through 13, 10 for the tournament. He's in a tie for sixth position. It's his own tournament. Hideki Matsuyama leads at 16-under from Henrik Stenson and Dustin Johnson. A reminder that Ian Baker Finch, the great Ian Baker Finch, is our legend of the game. Coming up just after 8 o'clock, we can look forward to that. Our talk topic is really starting to find a groove here today. We mentioned someone wants your brain for the race tipping, Ray. Anthony Mundine, his tongue, how powerful is it? Says Jim from Leichhardt. Ray and Jimmy, I just like anyone's hair. That's regards from Greg from Yaguna. I'll tell you what, you could do worse than have Ray Thomas's hair. I know that.
There you go. And here's one from Eagle-Eyed Phil. Good morning, Jimmy and Ray. Jonty Rhodes' agility.
Yes.
Sean Johnson's footwork. Great sidestep, hasn't he? Mark Waugh's elegance. Yes, at the crease. Cliff Lyon's vision. And yes, this is mine too. Usain Bolt's speed. Eagle-Eyed Phil.
There you go. Good on you, Eagle-Eyed Phil. We do appreciate this one. Now, this was an interesting one that came in. Morning, boys. On today's subject, how about Jeremy, the producer's brain, with his ability to pick the most obscure tiebreaker questions on the quiz?
Jeremy loves it. Now, Jeremy wants the Australian.
Jeremy, we'll send you out a CD. Fantastic. Well done.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Hey, Jimmy, yesterday, it's great to see Gay Waterhouse back in town and should have been on Sweet Redemption's. Horse has been in terrific form right through the spring, and she was tough yesterday. And Gay's been good enough to join us bright and early this morning. Gay, good morning. Welcome back. And have you had a think overnight about Sweet Redemption and potentially a Villiers start, Gay?
Well, she's certainly there for the Villiers because it was such a tough win and the horse that were made ground on her. May I say, a horse I bought in New Zealand at the sales and then he went on over to Perth and never saw him again.
Okay.
Until yesterday when he looms up. But he made terrific ground, and it was a good gutsy win, the way she just kept, you know, fighting to the line. So, yes, she is a Villiers chance. We're, you know, also mindful that the race is up in Queensland that we'd like to be taking her to. You know, she's a Magic Millions graduate. You know, there's a few options. So Adrian and I put our thinking caps on and talk with the owners this week.
And from what I understand, Gay, she's one of those horses that she tries as hard in track work as she does on the race course. She's a dream to train.
She's a very, very lovely filly. You get two types of fillies. You get either real little madams that want to really test you, and you get fillies that say, look, you know, what do you want me to do? And roll up their sleeves, and that's Sweet Redemption. It is so funny. I was talking to my manager of the stables in Melbourne, Roger Elliott, this morning, and he was with us in Queensland last year. And after the carnival, the Magic Millions Carnival, I said, that's it. I said, I think we'll send that filly on her way. She's just not good enough. And then I rang up the next morning and I said, no, leave it. We'll keep going. Thank goodness. It's so funny, you know.
Yeah.
She was only reminding me this morning that last year she was, you know, very much a restricted filly.
Well, when does the switch get flicked, so to speak, Gay? Is it something you can identify, or is it just an individual thing with each horse?
It's an individual thing, Ray, but with the fillies, you've just got to keep tapping away. I think with most horses, they don't all reveal themselves as Pierrot's, Vancouver's, you know, Sweet Ideas. They don't all do that. Only probably the very exceptional Group 1 horses do that. But the other horses might take a little bit longer to sort of, I say, the expression, jerry to what you want them to do.
Yeah.
And strengthen. A lot of it's with strength. You know, I think what I do now compared to 20 years ago, and I think I couldn't have done it then, you know, mentally and physically. You know, you sort of mature all horses are exactly the same.
Nearly $300,000 in prize money now for Sweet Redemption from the 18 start. So you mentioned the Magic Millions, and there's obviously a lot of money on offer there. And I noticed in the owner's gate, there's a number of females involved in that. Is that the female bonus race up there with the Magic Millions as well? Would she be going for that?
Oh, look, she won't be because there are quite a few men in it.
Oh, so it's got to be exclusively.
Exclusively.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Global
Glamour,
exclusively girl.
Exclusively, okay.
Well, Global Glamour is definitely going that way, isn't she, Gay? I know you're trialling Fabrizio on Tuesday, but is Global Glamour close to having a trial as well, heading towards that Magic Millions campaign?
She's probably a little bit after that, but she's a filly that when she comes when she starts getting fit, she all of a sudden the penny goes boom. Yep. Not dissimilar to a horse called Fabrizio, who's isn't he a surprise package?
Right, star Fabrizio.
You know, but look, that's fire line. That you know, you see high chaparrals. They're the most wonderful horses. Mm. He's not about anymore. But of course, the son of, so you think. You see a horse of ours, Northwest Passage, won the other day.
He was outstanding, Gade Hawkesbury, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yes, he was. And we bought him from an owner of ours, Robert McClure, down in Melbourne, at his stud down there. And he kept straight away, don't forget such and such. I think they think you don't think, but it's nice that they can prick our memory and prompt us along.
Well, he's a really promising horse, Northwest Passage. And another horse that won during the week, I know you only got back on Friday from New York, but a filly on Thursday called Miss Debutante won her second race at Gosford on Thursday, and another really promising young horse.
Very much so. She's owned by Sir Owen Glynn. You know, of course, who had
the Criterion
fame. And she will go now, of course, to the English Bonus race. And on the 17th, there are two wonderful races. They're very high prize money, one for three-year-olds and upwards of, I think, 1,000 or 1,100. And of course, the other one is a two-year-old race. We've got probably two of the favourites. We've got Serena Bay and Sheikah, both of which one's won two races and one's run second.
That's right.
Gay, we spoke to Adrian last week. Was very impressive.
You've got a choice with us.
Yeah, well, that's
Adrian 1 week and Gay another.
Yeah, that's right. And well, that's sort of, I don't know whether it halves your workload, but it certainly shares it a little bit. But does it give you the, I know you've had great help previously in the stable, but does it give you the confidence that you can take some time off now and know that things will run smoothly?
The thing is, I didn't go into partnership with Adrian to take time off, and I think that's where everyone misunderstands. I took it so that I could spend more time with the horses, because when I'm with the horses more, we do a better job. And that's exactly, you only have to look at the results. Adrian and I, he's the best thing that's ever come into my life, because he's so talented, and he's very quick to be able to see with the horses what I want and what I can envisage. He's a big thinker. He's very, very talented, and you only have to see the results since we've been in partnership.
No, it's certainly there. Just back to Northwest Passage quickly. I've got Jimmy's little black book here, but where does he go next?
I've got two options. We were talking the other day. He can go to the 1900, which you say, oops, that's a big jump. But often these three-year-old races in town are very weak once they get over a bit of a distance. There's not a lot of strength in the middle-distance stayers. Yeah. Or he can go the following week to a more obvious choice, which would be a 1,400 or 1,500 metre.
Mm. Yeah, Jay, I know I tend to get carried away quickly with the horses, but could he potentially be your Derby horse next autumn?
Well, if he keeps progressing.
Yeah.
He's a horse that's taken a long time to get to the track, Ray. He was such an enormous elephant. I can't describe to you the size of him. And one of the biggest problems for trainers with those big, heavy horses is they can break down much more easily because they're weight-bearing so much. So, you know, you've really got to just go tap, 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 as we were saying before, and gradually get there. Mm. And he did get there in no uncertain terms. And isn't Rachel King riding well?
Yeah, she's flying. She's now with you, isn't she, Gay?
Oh, she's been with me quite some time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's got a lot stronger and she's riding much more aggressively. She said it was so funny because I keep telling the jockeys different things. And I said to her at one stage, you scream in their ear. You just scream in their ear. She said, I'm behind Paul King on your other horse and I'm screaming in Norfolk's ear.
Very good. Gay, as always, great to have you on the program. We do appreciate it. Welcome back, and of course, winners straight away, which is great to see as well. And thanks for joining us early on a Sunday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gay.
Gay Waterhouse there, winner yesterday with Sweet Redemption. Apparently got a Derby winner in the stable as well.
He's a nice horse, Jim.
Thomas.
No, I get carried away.
Yeah, we thought Gay got carried away, but no one seems to get more.
Where's that black book of yours?
I've got it here.
Northwest Passage.
I've got it written down. Northwest.
I'll show you a replay.
And speaking
in that
of
break.
Big horses, Takedown, of course, is a big horse that has shown that can get the job done as well too. So,
yeah, great training effort from Gary Moore. That horse, of course, running in the Hong Kong International Sprint next Sunday.
Takedown. Yeah, absolutely. 1353-53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break here on the program. And after that, we will come back and have a chat with Bjorn Baker. Two winners for everyone's second favourite Kiwi.
Here at Sky Sports Radio, we know what punters expect.
The best experts.
Late mail.
Interviews with trainers and jockeys.
Tips and the all-important Tab Market Movers.
Tab Market Mover here for you at Rose Hill. Hogmanay here for Chris Waller, number 11. It's 850 into 550, number 11.
Hogmanay's clear. Jimmy Innes has pulled off the perfect ride. Hogmanay leads all the way from Unbiased.
Tab Market Movers for Thoroughbred, Harness and Greys have proven invaluable to our listeners. Stay with the punters, pal.
Sky Sports Radio.
Sony Music gives you the hottest stars on the planet with the new Garth Brooks Gunslinger album. Carrie Underwood's Australian Deluxe Tour Edition of Storyteller. Kenny Chesney's new album, Cosmic Hallelujah, featuring Pink. And Miranda Lambert's The Weight of These Wings. All albums available now. These are the hottest stars on the planet.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. We're looking for those things, body parts of former sports people that you would like, given the fact that Josh...
Not Greg Chappell's cover drive.
No, that just didn't make sense. But anyway... given the fact that Josh Mansour has got someone else's...
It does, if you can think about it, Jim. You've got
Ray,
to, you
stop
need,
it, mate. Okay. Stop it. We've got to move on with the program.
Have you seen a better shot in cricket, though?
The Ricky Ponting pull shot was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Good morning, Eddie from Glenfield. Pele's right foot, the thoughts and vision of Ben Lexon, and Kerry O'Keefe's laugh.
That's very, very good.
That's not a bad one. We do appreciate it.
Do you read the next one?
No, what's the next one?
You can read...
I'd like... Should I read it out there? I'd like Mal's biscuit and promotional merchandise, dealing skills and race fashion sense in shirts.
Oh, well, I don't remember fashion sense in shirts.
But he did steal biscuits one day. Remember?
He did, yeah.
He had four of Tanya's biscuits.
He did. That's what the gentleman's referring to.
Yeah, I understand.
Now, what did you describe Bjorn Baker as?
Our second favourite Kiwi.
Who's the favourite?
Oh, Russell Crowe, obviously. Yeah.
Well, Bjorn's surprisingly been good enough to join us despite that.
Neil Finn.
Do you see Crowd of House tonight?
Maybe Bjorn's third.
Oh, gee. he might hang up.
No, he won't.
Bjorn, you're still there. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm going to take a step back. You forgot Kane Williamson.
He might make us pay this afternoon, Bjorn, hey?
He'll get on the front foot. It's going to be great. I've actually got offered a free ticket.
He can bat.
Hang on a minute. You're a Kiwi, so I wouldn't expect you to pay for one.
You can't say that to a guest, Jim.
Mate, you admit that, though, Bjorn, don't you?
I'm not going to argue with you.
Hey, Bjorn, the king of the freebies here, Jim Smith, right next to me. Hey, Bjorn,
exactly. He seems pretty up with it.
Exactly. Look, Bjorn, thanks for joining us. We'll get serious here for a minute, Jim. Probably the most impressive winner anywhere yesterday was winning Rupert at Eagle Farm. I know you've got to take into account the quality of opposition, but he's 3 from 3 now, Bjorn. He was first up yesterday. He ran time, and he won by nearly 6 lengths on his ear. How good is he, Bjorn?
Well, he could be the fastest horse that's looked through a bridle.
There you go. Quote.
Hang on, write that down, right? Write that down.
That goes in the paper tomorrow. No.
He's, you're very nervous with a horse like that when he comes back. I've always had a lot of time for him. And, it was nice to see him do that. And he's shown us, he's always shown a lot. What he did in the winter was pretty good. He went out to Brisbane twice. So,
what stakes race?
Stay sound, and we'll look for another ace in 2 weeks. And it works in really well. So, sort of most of the hard work's done with him. And hopefully he can continue in that vein.
Do you feel the pressure a bit when you get a horse like this, Bjorn?
No, you don't, but you're sort of like, you always feel the pressure. It's like going out to the middle, you need winners in our game, Jimmy, and at the end of the day, I've been a little bit quiet, so it's nice to produce one like him.
Yeah. The scary thing is, and sort of Ray touched on it there, I think Jeff Lloyd jumped off yesterday and said he had something up his sleeve as well, so that's... I guess, even more encouraging.
Yeah, and he's a good judge too, Jeff. He doesn't get carried away. So it's nice to have him on too. We've got a great relationship from back in the days when Nom de Jeu won the Derby.
That's so right.
As you laugh about Kiwis and all that, like if we offered Jeff that free ticket, he would have taken it yesterday.
Just on, Jeff, we haven't even mentioned Jimmy. 7 winners on Wednesday at the Sunshine Coast, which is a Brisbane Metropolitan meeting. 4 winners again yesterday.
And what age is he?
56, Byrne, is that right? I think he's 56, Jeff, and probably never
been. And he's just come off a premiership win.
Riding unbelievably well. Mm.
Yeah, he's a marvellous rider, and he's going great. Mm. So he's one guy when he does tell you something, you're really awesome.
Mm. Other winners around, of course, you had Brooklyn Storm yesterday up there at Eagle Farm as well. But the interesting one too was Burning Energy in the Mudgee Cup. The boys were out there on Friday. So far-flung winners there, Bjorn. You're doing some travelling.
Yeah, we always travel. Ab Horse will travel.
Yeah.
We'll try and win.
Did a good job. Bjorn, you produced a horse that same day at the Mudgee Cup meeting called Prince of Thebes. Second start, 1/5. Ran second in its first start when beaten by an older horse. He looks an up-and-comer.
Yeah, he was really good second start. So he's a nice horse, and we'll just take it one step at a time. The beauty about winning with horses like that out wide is you don't get a good rating. So generally they're pretty easy to place again, and you take them through the grades one step at a time.
Exactly. Well, a horse last summer who was doing that was Sir Plush, and he's come back in great heart, but again, just run down yesterday, ambushed late by Redoubtable Heart. Is the Villiers at 1,600 metres a bridge too far for Sir Plush, Bjorn?
Kane Williamson's really positive about today. He's going to make it happen.
Okay.
And there's a new fast bowler. And
he's quick, yeah.
Ferguson.
He deserves one. Sir Plush, he's going super. And we'll just hopefully try and win one. I hope the handicap is a nice to him and get that opportunity.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Australia's $1.40 and New Zealand's $3 today, so...
Just silly, there's
a bit of value.
Not that
there,
much difference between them.
Although Kane Williamson, by his lofty standards, had a pretty lean test series against Pakistan.
Which is a massive concern for us.
Any comment on that, Bjorn, or you wanted to...
Well, the Pakistanis wouldn't be in a position to comment, would they?
Because New Zealand won the series, Jim.
Yeah, well, anyway, Kane Williamson.
He's been a touch quiet by his standards.
Yeah.
Which is a concern, Jim. He couldn't come out of the blocks today.
All right, okay. Great for you to cover the cricket for us too. I know we touched briefly on the horses, but we do appreciate your time this morning, mate. And we'll
enjoy the SCG, Bjorn.
Yeah.
There's only two teams I support, guys.
Yeah. New Zealand and the team playing Australia?
Correct. You're sharp, and I thought you were Jimmy.
You know what? Richard Hadley's just gone past his favourite Kiwi, so you're now in fifth position.
Oh, you can't mock him. Remember the time that, what was your name, Whitney was in there for the last over and
he bowled
a bit wide. He looked after you. I don't know if he was around those days, but I still wonder now.
Be cool. I don't think Sir Richard gave up anything.
No, he was some bowler, wasn't he?
Yeah. Brilliant.
Hey, thanks for joining us, Bjorn, and enjoy the SCG this afternoon.
Hey, nice of you guys to ring, too. Have you lost my number?
Everyone
to ring me anytime you want. You know that.
Good on you,
everyone
Bjorn.
In Sky Media's lost your number, from what I understand.
You can't be saying things like that. You want this guy to come back on when he trains a Group 1 winner, don't you?
I'm actually going to ring Kane Williamson personally.
There you go.
Go on.
See you, team.
Enjoy the day, mate. Thanks,
there
Bjorn.
There you go. Bertie, you cover all things, don't you?
Yeah, there you go.
Popular music, movies. A bit of cricket with Kane Williamson. It's very good. 1353 53 is the open line number. Now we've got Bob on the line.
Yeah, good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
How are you? What do you got for us, Bob?
Ray.
Yeah.
More joyous as youngster. Be what, 2 years of age now?
It is, yeah.
What's his name, mate?
Yeah, I'd have to check that out for you. I will check it out.
By who?
I was hoping I'd get on earlier before you smoked the gay.
Okay. I should have asked. Okay, the gay trains it.
Yeah.
I will find out for you, Bob, and I'll let you know. So stay listening. And
I've been watching barrier trials, checking all colours, yeah. Everything.
It's the Frankel filly.
Yeah.
Now they were going to name it Woman, but I don't know if it actually got through. So I'll check where it's at. I might even text Singer on the ad break and see if I can get hold of him and just see where the filly is at, and we'll let you know, Bob. So stay listening and we'll find out for you.
I'm looking forward to seeing this horse, mate.
Yeah, she was a good horse, wasn't she, More Joyce?
Mate, I was reading on Wiki the other day. They were even commenting about when the saddle slipped and she did the buck and bronco.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
She was always in the headlines, that filly. Oh, mare, just unbelievable, mate.
Yeah, she was outstanding.
She was one that tried, wasn't she?
Won 8 Group 1s.
Yeah. 1353-53, the open line number. Anthony is there. Hello, Anthony.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, Anthony.
No, I'm just walking down the first, so I'll have to...
good luck to you.
What was your tee shot like?
Straight down the middle. It's all right, but it was only a hybrid, but that's okay.
Whereabouts are you playing, Anthony?
Quinda Waters up on the Central Coast, so you've got to keep it straight.
Nice area, yeah.
Beautiful. So Tiger Woods stamina, I wouldn't mind, because over the years, the reports we've had, it must be a fairly impressive sort of a part of his body and that he's got.
He didn't sleep a lot, did he? No.
He didn't do a lot of sleeping.
And the point you make there, Anthony, is they're the reports we've got. What about all the reports we don't know?
That's right. You can pretty well double that, couldn't you?
Yeah,
that'd be more impressive.
Are you about to hit the second shot, Anthony?
Just about to, boys.
How far?
Love yous and leave yous.
How far from the green?
Par 5, mate, so we've still got a fair way to go.
All right, well, good luck with it. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Enjoy the round, mate.
Have a good day.
Thanks,
good on you, Anthony, there. If you want to give us a call, do that. 1353-53. He's now 3 under, Tiger Woods, for the day. 9 under for the tournament. He's dropped another shot. Ray, not sure if you got the reference to your choice in shirts. Didn't Mal give you heaps about a shirt you bought overseas? Didn't he what?
Yeah, the Royal Ascot shirt. No, the Wimbledon shirt.
The Wimbledon shirt. It was worn once by Ray Thomas.
Never been seen again. Actually, Tanya and I worked out to go via Royal Ascot and via Wimbledon next year so I can buy those 2 polo shirts I'm missing.
Now, well, the beauty of that is that Tanya will be there handing out some advice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
That's a good shirt, though. Didn't you like it?
1353-53 is the open line number. After the break, Phil Moss.
A real McCoy.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids' room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
On the line is Stuart, who found love earlier than expected.
That's right. Yeah, it was just after the third leg of the quaddy.
Go on.
Well, I was 3 from 3 and even had a roughie in there, but the last leg had me nervous, the quaddy killer. So I went for Tab's quaddy cash out and still came out in front.
That'll settle the nerves. If you love an early collect, cash out of your quaddy with Tab's quaddy cash out.
Tab, we love a bet.
Terms and conditions at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, you know the 12 days of Christmas?
24.
Yes, this year at Bingley there's...
24.
24 days of Christmas gift deals.
That's what I said.
Yes, Mum. What about this one? A brilliant Beko freestanding dishwasher with 14 place settings and 5 wash cycles for only $399 right now at Bingley.
So Christmas is twice as good at Bingley.
For 24 days.
That's what I said.
Selected products, offer ends December 7. See bingley.com.au for details.
For the best price on a new Mazda, Jimmy, go and see the man. What man?
The man from Mazda, Ray.
You pay
zoom,
attention.
Zoom, zoom.
Standing Penrith Mazda Centre is family-owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including the BT50. And the BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque and more comfort. So come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre Penrith with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
Is there anyone else playing this tournament? The broadcast?
It's all about Tiger, isn't it?
He's in a tie for seven, and there seems to be no one else playing the tournament.
Matsuyama's gone to 17 under, he's 5 under for the day. I haven't seen him hit a shot.
Haven't seen him hit one.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one VT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. Time to talk some football now. And I think Western Sydney Wanderers fans with a big sigh of relief after six straight games without a win.
Five draws in succession.
And they were down 1-0 against the Central Coast Mariners. Mm. Came back at a very strong win, 4-1. Tell us more about it is Phil Moss, our football expert. G'day, Mossy.
Good morning, guys. Well, have we got some talking points out of this weekend already?
Yeah, absolutely. So, first of all, it was the strong performance from Western Sydney Wanderers up there against the Central Coast, who had shown a bit of form of late.
That's right. There's probably a little bit of deja vu from both sets of supporters. Wanderers fans would be hopeful of going on a run now and replicating what they've done three times out of their last four seasons. And Mariners fans would be going, oh no, are we going to slide now? Because I backed the Mariners to go back-to-back again for the second time this season. I think I've learnt my lesson now. But I have to say that the result probably wasn't, the scoreline wasn't reflective of the game. I thought the Mariners were better than what the scoreline suggested, but full credit to the Wanderers. They took their big moments well, and Nico Martinez was just at a different level. He was the absolute standout for the Wanderers yesterday. His contribution in general build-up was outstanding, scored a fantastic goal off of Mitch Nichols' cross, and they fully deserved the result, albeit I think the scoreline flattered them a little bit.
Phil, if you're a Wanderers fan then, you said earlier perhaps they're hoping they can go on a roll. Can they now turn these succession of draws after this win into a series of wins now?
Yeah, right. They've got the quality too. What's been lacking, I think, is the cohesion. Mm-hmm. And I said at the start of the season that Tony Popovich has gone through 65 players in four seasons, he's been successful doing it. But the big thing that can go wrong with that is fluency and continuity, because you've got to start basically from scratch every season. So the performance yesterday was a little bit like that. It was very, very good in patches, but then it was very poor in some other patches. So once they get that consistency, they got the quality. The likes of Nico Martinez, Junpei Kusukami, Mitch Nichols, Sanilab off the bench, they still haven't found that number nine. The young boy Scott started yesterday up front, but Sanilab is proving once again that he's deadly off the bench, but doesn't have the same impact when he starts games.
Yeah.
So if they can find that number nine in January in the transfer window, then they can certainly go on a run. And defensively, they looked better yesterday. They looked better again last week. So, they are building towards something, you can tell.
How did Melbourne Victory not get 3 points on Friday night?
You'd have to ask Bessart Berisha, Jimmy.
He had the golden opportunity.
Yeah.
Look, it's one of those games. Kevin Muscat will, he'll walk away from that game scratching his head with a wry grin, because it was a very good performance. And if he's been one of those coaches that keeps coming out saying if the performances are good, the results will come. You can say that to a point, but eventually you've got to turn them into results. And it didn't happen the other night. But certainly it was a very dominant performance against Perth. And they're in a bit of trouble, Perth. I mean, they scrapped and scraped and bit and scratched their way to a point the other night, but they're not playing well at the moment at all. Of course, they got dusted the week before, and they weren't good the other night, but they found a way to get a point. Melbourne Victory, if they can convert their chances, they'll go on a good run, but they're well-placed. Let's not forget that.
Mm. Hey, Phil, Melbourne C and Timmy Cahill got the job done in the FFA Cup against Sydney FC on Wednesday night. We'll come to that game shortly, but where do we start with the Melbourne City-Brisbane game yesterday? So much controversy, one all draw. Wow, so much to talk about here, Phil.
There is, Ray, but, I've said it before on this program and I'll say it again, that let's just start with the simulation of Jaden.
That was the worst I've ever seen, I reckon, Phil. It was terrible.
The thing that surprised me the most was the guy that was involved. Mm. Jaden North is a stand-up citizen. He's a fantastic role model for our game, and, of course, for the Indigenous community as well. For him to go down like that, I mean, he's a rock-solid defender. So I can only put it down to the fact that the carry-on of both coaches spilled onto the pitch.
Fair enough, players took
that emotion from both coaches, and it was, both coaches need to pull their head in a little bit. I have to be honest here. I think they overstepped the mark this week in the lead-up to the
build-up.
Johnny Aloisi's trying to referee games before they're kicked off, and John Van Skip took the bait, and he's hit back. And there is some history between these two. Let's not forget John Van Skip was the technical director at Melbourne Heart when Johnny Aloisi got the sack.
Yeah.
So there's no denying there is a bit of bad blood there, but it certainly spilled over onto the pitch, and that was just unforgivable. I hate simulation. Can't stand it. Needs to be rubbed out no matter who's involved. And that really brought the spectacle down last night, I thought.
Phil, what will happen to Jade North now?
Well, it has to be reviewed retrospectively. It wasn't dealt with by the referee. There was no yellow cards. There's no reason the match review panel can't look at it. And there needs to be some form of action because we have to get rid of this. It was Neil Kilkenny in round two, I think it was, against Adelaide that we were talking about. It's now Jade North. This has to be stamped out of our game.
And Thomas Broich made some comments after the game too. And just was it 2 years ago or 3 years ago he was the best player in the league? How's he travelling now, Phil?
Yeah, look, he's ageing, Jimmy. There's no doubt. He's still a fantastic player and a great role model. And his post-match interview was outstanding, I thought. He's just such a well-spoken, articulate sort of person. But, you know, his comments were telling, I thought, in the way that Brisbane played last night. He was talking about how they pressed higher. They played with a higher tempo, and he said, that is the Brisbane way. Now, I've been, you know, publicly quite critical of the way Brisbane have gone away from what their philosophy used to be of pressing high and playing with a high tempo, you know, being a possession-based side and really hurting teams. And last night that sort of came back, and you could tell by those comments that Thomas was very relieved for that performance to come back because it's almost like they have gone away from that in recent times. So whether that's, you know, a marker in the sand for the rest of the season. Let's wait and see. But they're certainly a better side when they play that way.
Couple of games today, Phil. We're looking forward to the 5 o'clock kickoff, Newcastle Jets versus Sydney FC. Sydney FC off the disappointment on Wednesday night, starting the season with goals galore. Now they can't score, Phil.
That's right, Ray. It's bounce back time for Sydney, and I think it's really statement time with Melbourne City dropping points last night in second position. Sydney have got the chance to go 6 points clear at the top of the table. So if they can do that away from home in Newcastle, tricky place to go, no doubt. Sydney have, they've got a good record against Newcastle, there's no doubt. But I think they need to really stand up today and make a statement that the midweek result didn't rattle them. And secondly, we're here to win the league this year. And that is our prime focus. They would have loved the cup the other night. They didn't get it. It's now time to stand up, beat their chest and say, but we're the best team in the league and this is why. So it promises to be an absolute cracker up there. I think Newcastle are getting to that point in the season where they need to start, you know, putting some results on the board. They've got a terrible injury crisis up there. Mark Jones is baptism of fire in the hot seat for him this season. But I think Sydney will go there and get the points.
All right, and just quickly, Adelaide versus Wellington. We'll get a tip out of you there before we go to the EPL.
Well, in inverted commas, it's time.
Right.
They have to stand up, and I think they'll get the result at home 2-1, I'm tipping. Guillaume Moore is in the stands again after copying an extra week suspension for his send-off the other week.
Sydney FC, $1.70. Maybe you can all up that into Adelaide United, $1.70 as well. To go to the English Premier League, big result for this one. At home, Manchester City have lost 3-1 to Chelsea. That's a huge result, top of the table.
Yeah, you talk about statements, Jimmy. Chelsea have certainly made one. If I can just touch on something at the end of the game first, the Aguero tackle, in my book, just as bad as Jade North's antics last night in the A-League.
Okay.
Shocking, unprofessional, put a fellow professional's career at risk with that tackle. Fully deserving the red card. But let's go to the performance. Chelsea, as if to make a statement, scored all four goals, if you take into account Gary Cahill's own goal as well.
But, okay.
You know, that's a fantastic result for them, and that really is standing up and saying eight from eight now. You can't argue with statistics like that. 8 wins from 8 games. Conte doing a magnificent job after being under pressure early in the season.
And a couple of big games later on tonight, Phil, Liverpool versus Bournemouth and Everton v Man U. Liverpool need to win to stay in touch with Chelsea.
Yeah, that's right. Brad Smith, the Socceroo, taking on his old club in Liverpool, got his first start for Bournemouth last week, so he'll be hoping to keep his spot for that one. And, look, Everton, Manchester United. Slippery slide this one. It could be banana skin, whatever else you want to throw at it.
Break.
But I'm sure there's someone in the studio who will be arguing with me over that one. But great weekend of football, guys, and some fantastic results, great performances. Leicester, just very quickly, 16 points left than where they were this time last year.
Extraordinary.
Four more losses than they had for the whole season last season. So avoiding relegation has surely become their focus.
Listen, Phil Moss, you've got to hide coming on this program and saying those things about Manchester United.
He's standing up here, Phil.
Brother, John Moss, on Friday at a Christmas party. A fantastic day, too, on Shark Island. Thanks very much, GSA.
Had a freebie for you, Jim.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But here's a man whose father was standing outside Old Trafford following the Munich air disaster as an 11-year-old, and yet his son betrays him and supports Liverpool. Hang your head in shame, Phil Moss.
I've got the bulletproof vest on.
Hey, go on, Phil, quickly, Celtic overnight. Tom Rogic again gets the winner, 4-3 for Celtic. He's scoring goals for fun over there.
He is, and it just points again to that fact, will he move to a bigger league very soon? Because he just seems to be standing up week in, week out now. So it's great news for Australian football.
Absolutely. Good on you, Phil. Enjoy your day.
Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Phil.
Liverpool get pumped by six. 13:53:53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. If you want to be a pass of the Event Cinemas quiz, call now. It's a double goal pass. This is as good as it gets. This is $70 worth of value right here.
Once you've been gold class, you can't go back to Melbourne.
Yeah, so now that's all courtesy of Prakash and the team out there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. And look, just getting word. You wouldn't believe it.
Just getting old.
voted number one Event Cinemas global.
They've gone global. Northern Hemisphere.
Yeah, no, they have. We've been able to take in the Northern Hemisphere, and they're absolutely fantastic. So well done. It's what an honour. Apparently the ceremony's in Dubai this year. So
are we going to go there for the show?
No, Prakash is going.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We'll ask him whether we could do a live.
Can you work on senior management with that one?
I'll work with senior management on that one. All right, so call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. Remember, it could be all over for Ray Thomas in 2016.
So much at stake. The pressure's enormous.
13:53:53.
All covers, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the title.
International Racing at its very best. 7 days a week
across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, do you want to know the long-range forecast for this summer?
Yes.
Moderate temperatures, gentle breezes, and cool gift cards.
Gift cards?
When you buy an air conditioner from Bingley.
Which one, Lionel?
We've got the latest models from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, LG, and Panasonic.
What could be better?
A bonus Bingley gift card. Up to $300 depending on the size of the aircon.
So beat the heat this summer.
With a brand new aircon and a bonus gift card from Bingley.
Terms and conditions apply. See bingley.com.au for details.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
You can't read that top one, James.
No, I was going to read someone about Brian Lara, but no, I can't do that. 13:53:53 is the open line number. Call now if you want to be a part of the quiz. You will get through. Call now, 13:53:53. It's a double goal pass. Courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. So this means you can use them anywhere you like around New South Wales. So there are gold-class movie theatres in Bondi Junction, George Street, Castle Hill, Parramatta, Campbelltown, Macquarie, and, of course, now down at Miranda. So call now.
Once you've been gold-class, Jim, you can't go back to the normal.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it's a fantastic.
Quick score update before we go to the quiz.
Yes. 25.
23
with three Sundays remaining. Of course, there's no Sunday, Christmas Sunday. Well, it's Sunday, but it's Christmas.
So the pressure is on. I have to keep winning.
Show.
Correct?
That's right.
Otherwise,
and the loser buys the winner a case of beer.
Mm. You haven't decided which one you want yet, do you?
Well, I haven't won yet, so that'd be presumptuous of me.
I think you're pretty
it?
Much home.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, now, let's see. Here we go. You're player one today?
Shall I open the batting?
You should open the batting. There you go.
So I think I've got Peter there on the line. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Peter, look, no pressure, mate, but you can't lose, okay?
Okay.
All right, Pete, best of luck. Here's question number one. Who did the Melbourne Victory play in the A-League on Friday night? Was it the Western Sydney Wanderers, Perth Glory, or Central Coast Mariners?
Perth Glory.
Solid start, Pete, my man. Pete's on to a fly here, Jimmy. Question number two. Who do Melbourne United play in the NBL today?
Lucky guess.
Is it the Brisbane Bullets, New Zealand Breakers, or Illawarra Hawks?
Illawarra Hawks.
New Zealand Breakers, Pete.
That's more likely, Pete.
I'll back in here, Pete. This is an easy question. Oh, dear. In which month of 2017 will the World 10-Pin Bowling Championships be held? October, November or December?
November.
It was December, Pete.
Yeah, well,
so
obvious,
one's on
one.
The board. Stay on the line, Pete. We're going to hang in there. Jimmy, pressure's on you.
Bad luck, Pete. Stay there. Marianne is there. Hello, Marianne.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And good luck in this quiz.
I listen to you quite often.
What's that?
I listen to you quite often, and I love the commentation of races, whether they're greyhounds or horses, and sometimes enjoy listening to the soccer or football.
Good on you, Marianne. Good on you.
Stories, so it's interesting.
I hope you can win yourself a couple of golf passes.
Best of luck, Marianne.
Yeah.
We'll try.
Question one. Who do the Wellington Phoenix play in the A-League today? Is it Adelaide United, Melbourne City, or the Newcastle Jets?
Newcastle Jets. I tried. I had no idea.
Here we go. Now you've got another couple of questions here, Marianne. Who did the Perth Wildcats play in the NBL on Thursday? Was it the Sydney Kings, the Brisbane Bullets, or the Adelaide 36ers?
Can I ask a friend?
I'm afraid you can't, Marianne.
Did you say the Perth Wildcats? I'll go for them.
Yeah, well, who did they play? Did they play the Kings, the Bullets, or the 36ers?
The Bullets.
Yeah, cool. You knew that one. Great foxing there, Marianne. I love it.
This is the easy question.
All right, here we go. In which month of 2017 will the, and I remember this is 2017, will the FAI Hot Air Balloon Championships be held? Is it August, September, or October?
Must see sport.
I'd say August.
Oh, no.
I'd say you are correct, Marianne.
Oh, that's a disaster.
Unbelievable.
Marianne, well done.
Oh, stay on the line, Marianne.
You've won something. Absolutely, Marianne. Hang on.
It's a double pass to Gold Class Cinemas, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta.
Oh, thanks very much. That's lovely.
Where do you live, Marianne?
I live in Kingsford.
Kingsford.
There's one close.
The nearest
Bondi
one would be
Junction.
Bondi Junction.
Yeah, Bondi Junction's
yeah,
not far away.
Far from there. Is that where the nearest cinema is?
I reckon it'd be the nearest one to you, or George Street, maybe.
I haven't been there for a while, but I'll enjoy it, I think.
I'm sure you will, all courtesy of Prakash and the team at Event Cinemas at Paradise.
Stay on the line, Marianne. Stay on the line.
Marianne, you know, what an unlikely victory. It never seemed that was going to be the case, and yet now, Ray, it's all over.
Reveal.
The competition is gone.
What is it? What's your cartner choice?
150 lashes. 150 lashes. 150
Pale
lashes.
Pale ale, man.
Pale ale. Yeah, I'm loving it at the moment. So there you go, Raymond. And I'll try and find the most expensive carton I can, and you can reimburse me. How about that? I suppose I'll have to produce a docket, will I?
No.
We'll have to produce
on a system here.
All right. Well, there's $76 a case.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend is brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the number one BT50 dealer in New South Wales. Mongoa Road, Penrith.
What a performance
from
Marianne.
That's a win for you. Marianne, first-time caller.
First-time caller, and to be honest, given the fact that she thought the answer was Perth Wildcats initially to question two, but then got the Brisbane Bullets and then got August. I mean,
you know what,
if I'm thinking of the FAI Hot Air Balloon Championships, I'm certainly thinking August.
The highlight of this show every week is Jeremy's third question.
Yeah.
In the quiz. Seriously, where does he get them from? And that is must-see sport, Jimmy. The Hot Air Balloon Championships.
You know where he gets them from?
Yeah.
The Sports Year Diary, which is exactly what you can win if you're the best caller today. So, do that during the course of the morning, 13:53:53. We're looking for notable body parts. It's given us some interesting updates, but we can't read all of them. So we have to leave out that one about Brian Lara.
The studio audience has just doubled, Jim.
Yeah, the studio audience has just doubled. Now, what about this one? Jimmy, surely you can't claim that win. Cheers, Dave from Wattlegrove.
Dave's your biggest supporter.
If there's one person that's followed this quiz throughout the course of this year, it's Dave from Wattlegrove. So
he gets all the major disasters that we've managed to bring upon this show.
So, no, I'm claiming it. Don't you worry about that, David. I am claiming it. And then Sophie at Strathfield, she lets herself down here. Jimmy Smith's nose is certainly a notable body part. And George Street Gold Class Cinema is pretty good too. That's from Sophie at Strathfield. Yeah, I put out a tweet on Thursday, I went to the launch of Brad Haddon's book, My Family's Keeper.
Return serve in kind.
I was with Bryce Hayes.
Yes, and you sent that tweet out Thursday night.
Yeah, good to catch up with Bryce, who I know listens to the program. So, morning to you, Bryce. But He was there. I think he trains a horse that Brad's got an interest in.
Okay.
And they went up to Scone together. So good to catch up with Bryce. So, yes, and there was a picture that went out, and Sophie Maiden mentioned my nose, which is not exactly straight at this point. 53.
EJ.
Go on, you read that one out, right?
EJ, one of your best boys. Every quiz master should tape your quizzes and practice.
Practice getting it wrong, EJ, I think is what they would do. Now, look, we better move to this. For the first time this morning, we say good morning to Tanya.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Hawkesbury and also at Nowra. We'll start with Hawkesbury, where the weather is fine, the track a good 3. The rail is out 3 metres from the 1300 to the winning post. True the remainder, penetrometer 4.8 and 14 scratchings. So out of race 1, take number 5, Humility, number 5. Race 2, number 4, Cindy C, and 8, Insensata. 4 and 8 from race 2. Race 3 is clear. Go to the 4th, take out 1, Back to My Bay, and 2, Cristalla Rosso, 1 and 2 from race 4. Race 5, number 7, Biscuit Time, number 7 from the 5th. Race 6 is clear. Out of race 7, take 6, Musso, and 8, He's Pretty Cool, 6 and 8 from race 7. And the last race, race 8, take out 1, Hinch, 3, Bright Future, 5, Hot Pistol, 7, Your Witness, 9, Giant's Daughter, and 12, Cheeky Bella. 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 12 from race 8 at Hawkesbury. Over to Nowra, where the weather is fine, the track is good, a good 3 in fact, the rail is true, and 11 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Out of race 2, take number 2, Cool Cat Dancer, number 2. Out of the 3rd, number 3, Produce Me Late, and 9, Ayo-Wayo, 3 and 9 from the 3rd. Go to race 4, take out 2, Messiah's Jewel, number 2. Race 5, number 1, Denim Lass, 5, Costa Dorado, 6, Cristalla Rosso, 8, Taken By, 13, Miss Smugly, and 15, Keep the Vision. 1, 5, 6, 8, 13 and 15 from race 5. Race 6 is clear. And race 7, take out 5, Obilic, number 5 from race 7 at Nowra.
And, Tan, a couple of tips today.
How'd your tips go last week?
No, I've got one winner out of the 4.
Just last week.
Best bet at Hawkesbury, race 6, number 1, Victim Delamore for the Tim Martin stable. And since we're on this theme, Jimmy, you better back
us. Sorry, hang on. Race 6, number 1.
Yeah, Victim Delamore.
We had the girl, I think it's Ellen, with Victim Delamore. A victim of love.
Is that what it is, is it?
Victim Delamore.
Victim Delamore, okay.
Yes, Victim of Love.
Since we're on this theme, I think Exceed the Moon will win race 3, but you better back number 5, Pale Ale.
Oh, nice. Yes. There you go. Just on that, Don from Carlton has said, hey, Ray, $53 for a carton of 150 Lashes Pale Ale at Dan Murphy's. Don't give Cheapskate Jimmy a cent more.
Good on you, Don. Thanks
I'll
for that.
I'll bring the receipt in.
Good on you, Don. Thanks for that, Tim. Now a race 7.
Yes.
Number 4, Ladwell for Anne-Marie Rutley. Nice horse, won brilliantly on debut. Race 7, number 4, Ladwell.
Okay, $2.50 shot. Race 7, number 4, Ladwell. And the other one's race 6, number 1, Victim de l'Amour.
I like that.
$4.60. And race 3, number 1, Lyric. Is that right? Race
3, no, I liked Exceeding the Moon in that race, but I thought you better back Pale Ale since you're $53 for a carton of the Pale Ale at Dean Murphy's, 150 lashes.
Hey, hang on a minute. Is that Liquor Outlet a sponsor of ours? We can't be going on to mention. Shouldn't be mentioning the brand of beer either, should we? I can't believe this show's not sponsored by a beer brand.
Very, very good point.
Yeah, we'll have to get onto that.
Yeah,
maybe, there's an opportunity.
Maybe your 150 lashes Pale Ale might come to the party, since we're buying some of their good sponsors' product.
You are, yes. Bart Sprouse from the Chalk Jockey. They're pretty good, yeah. Here's some interesting one that's come in too, Ray, and we'll get to this. Mm-hmm. As I said before, the Wallabies went on tour. Win the Grand Slam, don't talk about it. Bernard Foley blabbing about it before they left for the UK. We could not win against their two best teams, substandard. Checker knew what was coming and tried to reverse the inevitable through the press. Nice try. Yeah, just an update on that. The Wallabies have been beaten.
37-21.
37-21. 14 consecutive wins for Eddie Jones' men. He would be the toast of London at the moment, wouldn't he? Eddie Jones, the way they are going. So we do appreciate that. Now, there's some other ones that are coming in. I have a US $100,000 bet. against Tiger Woods winning a major in 2017. A Mickey Mouse charity tourno in the Bahamas is no guide. I tend to agree with you on that.
He's
one.
Back to 10 under on the 17th. Hideki Matsuyama now open up a 5-shot lead, 18 under on the 14th. Haven't seen him play all day, Jim.
Morning men, I would have... No, that's right, it's all Tiger. Morning men, I would have Viv Richards' voice box and coolness.
Mm.
Sexy eyes from Mudgy.
I love the way he says swagger out to the crease, no helmet. In the day, just swag it out.
He made a point of not wearing a helmet. Mm. It was a message to the bowler.
Nothing intimidated.
Biff. That's right. That's right. So, you know, even when you're facing the biggest and the fastest
Lillian
and
Thompson.
The baddest in the game at the time, and they were all time, you know, you could probably argue no one's bowled faster than Jeffrey Robert Thompson.
But, correct.
You know, he's the one. Here's another one that's coming in now from Mitchell. This is via Twitter. If you want to send a tweet, you can do that. At Big Sports WEND. Mark Ellis' hands.
Yes.
Jeff Thompson's shoulder. Mike Brearley's brain.
Mm.
Steve Ellis' feet.
Very, very good point. Yeah.
The zip, zip man.
Zip, zip man. And Mike Brearley couldn't bat, but great captain.
Yeah, great captain.
He never scored a Test 100.
He got the best out of Ian Botham.
He certainly did.
He got the best out of Ian Botham. The other point that Mitchell says, and he's getting fined for that. This is talking about Glenn Maxwell. We can talk about this after 8 o'clock as well. But he's made those comments in the press saying, well, I think Matthew Wade bats himself higher than me so he can get in the Test side. I totally agree with Glenn Maxwell.
Very honest answer to a question. So.
But as we heard from Steve Smith, the Australian captain, he's been fined for making mention of that.
Mm. And as Mitchell says in that tweet, wonder why sport has no characters anymore.
100%. That is absolutely the case. Just, of course, that game starts the ODI series, the Chappell Hadley series. They hold it, the Kiwis.
You out there today, Jim?
No, I'm not out there today. I'm not like Bjorn Baker and got myself a free ticket. So
I'll be channel surfing this afternoon.
It's on there, the golf.
Cricket, the golf, and then the Sydney FC at 5 o'clock.
Supercars?
Yeah.
Van Gisbergen's won.
It's already won.
But, yeah, it's already. And that's right.